epic fail.
Welcome to the N4G Podcast.
Mario!
Zero Dollar!
This is gonna be a very interesting episode.
Gather time!
Greetings, programs! I got lost trying to find my way to the secret underground N4G radio lair.
The Wombat!
I always move being angry.
Play games, not consoles. No fanboys allowed.
And then I killed the dragon.
We are back after a week off. N4G Radio. Here we are. We have the original cast.
You just asked what date it was, and then you didn't even announce what date it was for.
July 13th.
There you go.
The show. But I asked before the show, so people are like, no, he didn't.
No, he didn't.
Wombat
didn't
is crazy.
Wombat makes shit up in his head.
That motherfucker. So we have with us GamersCon back after, yes.
Thank you. Greetings.
All the support you got on the twit.
Indeed.
Yeah, I must say to everybody on Twitter who have, asked about my father and said that they would pray for him or hope that that he's okay. I have to say, thank you.
Lots of love for the GK.
Yeah, lots of love, and I'm glad that my Twitter followers are also. I also consider you my friends.
Your Twitter followers are your friends.
Yeah.
Your virtual friends on the internet.
Yep. That's right.
But also with us, did we kill enough time? Also with us, we have the Wombat.
Yeah, you killed enough time.
Okay. We've seen if we filled enough there.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
And
nice to talk to you all again.
Yeah, you're back after. Well, we're all back after.
Yeah, we're all back.
Yeah. It's
like, we're all back after a lengthy absence.
Me and Wombat had a discussion last week, and it's like, Killer Wolverine and Gambus is out. Is anybody really going to listen to you and me for two hours?
No. They barely listen to you and me when we're here.
I know.
When everybody's here.
It's all about GambusCon. If GambusCon's not here, there just can't be a show.
It's all about GambusCon and waiting for Killer Wolverine to break something. I think everybody, honestly, that listens to our show, listens to it for GambusCon, and because they're all under the assumption that someday, at some point on one of these shows, Killer Wolverine is going to snap and kill one of us.
And they'll be able to hear it.
And they'll be able to hear it live. And they'll be like, I was listening to the show when that motherfucker snapped. And he shoved a controller down Zero Tolerance's throat.
That sounds painful. Make it a Wiimote. It's a little less, jagged.
Used to having Wiimote-shaped devices thrown down your mouth.
Well, also with us, we have Killer Wolverine, who wants to make sexual jokes and advances at me.
Just for
so
you.
Much sexual tension in the room right
I know.
Now.
Just get it over with, man. Just do it and
We're going to get
pound
it, brother.
Let's pound it, brother.
Wow.
Oh. Anyway.
Moving on.
Yes.
Anyway.
Next subject matter.
Anyways, as you probably heard, we have a new theme song.
Yes. So definitely let us know what you think.
Yeah.
If you want us to keep it, revert to the old one, or just write a whole new one, or just have GambusCon sing Karma Chameleon.
I actually
would prefer that.
That would be awesome. But only if it had video accompaniment.
Oh. Dude, I'm going to film that. Actually, what I think I'm going to film next is I'm going to film GambusCon singing The Touch on Guitar Hero.
Nice.
The Touch.
Ooh.
Ooh.
But yeah, that was done once again by our good friend Boogeyman. Good friend and frequent guest on the show. So,
good fiend.
Good fiend.
Good fiend.
So let him know what you think of it, too, if you like the new theme song.
Or just send him email. It's like, you suck. Like that one guy did. It's like, it's emo and off time. You suck.
Yeah. That's my favorite. That his theme song was emo and off time.
Anyway, we have a lot of fondling to get to. It's been 2 weeks.
It's been too long.
Yeah, it's been way too long. I can't even remember half the stuff I played. But anyway, we'll start off with Gambus Con, as we normally do. And what have you been fondling over the last two long weeks?
Well, the past 2 weeks, I've been basically spending most of my time in hospitals.
Must be portable game time.
Yes. Exactamundo. Let me see. I'll actually start off with a PS3 title.
Oh, snap.
Yeah. I picked up Blaze Blue. Blaze Blue, the fighting game.
And
it is awesome.
Nice.
It's beautiful. What's very interesting about this game is that each character almost seems to have a completely different way that they do attacks, you know. I mean, they all have, like, basically the same button layout, you know,
right.
Obviously. But in terms of doing special moves and combos and certain factors of, like, beyond the regular attacking, each character is almost completely different.
Have you mastered Carl Clover yet?
No, I actually have not even tried Carl Clover.
Yeah, good luck with that.
He just...
He's wicked, man, but, like, his damage, it does, like, nothing.
Really?
The only way to get damage with him is to attack with his puppet.
His puppet?
And that takes some skill to be able to hit somebody with an inanimate object.
Yeah.
I played through in the arcade mode with him recently just to get a feel, because I played through the game with every character in arcade mode, and rough. I mean, he's...
Rough.
He was the hardest one to play with, and I figured Tager would be, because he's just... I don't like big characters. But I didn't even lose a round with Tager.
He definitely takes up most of the screen.
And he definitely takes up most of the health when he hits you.
Yeah.
He does some massive, but he can't dash.
That's true. You see, that's another thing. Certain characters can dash and certain... Well,
He's the only one who can't dash.
Yeah.
So in terms of balance, how well is it balanced?
It's balanced really well.
I would say that... the thing is, you can't really have... I don't think any fighting game has a perfect balance.
Right.
But then there's just some fighting games where you definitely can really tell that one character has an advantage over everybody else. This game is it's probably one of the more balanced games I've played in a while. I mean, in terms of fighting games, probably one of the characters I play is Noelle Vermillion. Noelle Vermillion, yeah.
The one with the guns?
Yeah.
Yeah. She's got some sweet combos, dude.
She uses the gun kata, man.
Yeah, like when you can do the move where you jump over him and you can hit him from above.
Yeah.
I love doing that attack. She has just got some sick combos.
Yeah, her fighting style is...
I thought you were going to say her farting style.
Yeah, her farting style.
That's what I thought was coming out.
Is from that movie Equilibrium with Christian Bale.
Yeah.
Where they...
You're a nice guy!
You're a nice guy! You're a nice guy!
But that does a freaking call it.
You're going to owe a fortune to the swear jar.
But it's like the gun kata is a mixture of gunplay and martial art moves at the same time. It's very awesome. I like that. I like that character. Also, I also really like the character. What's his name? His name's Bang.
Bang Shikigami?
Yeah, Shikigami.
With the giant nail.
The giant nail.
Yeah, because I like his character, not specifically because of the way he plays, because he takes really some getting used to, but I like his character because of the way he acts. He kind of reminds me of the anime cliched character of the overconfident guy who's... wants to fight evil in the name of justice, you know. And he's always, like, spouting off stuff about justice and, you evildoer, you know. As a character, I think he's really cool. I try to play him just to be him, you know.
Right.
Even though he's not quite as easy to play as a lot of the other characters. He's kind of he's more of a defensive character.
I really like the V-13 or whatever.
Yes.
The character, it looks like Cosmos from Xenosaga.
Yeah.
She has got some sick moves.
Very
crazy
sick.
Moves, man.
I heard that one of her specials, I haven't been able to do it because I didn't play the game that long, but I heard that one of her specials actually triggers an anime sequence in the middle of the battle.
See, that's awesome. I want to see that one now. I know the... Have you done an Astral Heat yet?
No.
Man, they're freaking awesome. I know you being the Guilty Gear guy, the instant kills were just visually awesome. This just blows them away. Like, I did Rachel Alucard's the other day, and basically she just, like, floats up in the air, and a big cross comes out, and she's, like, laying in front of the cross, and then the person just, like, explodes on the screen. The whole screen just lights up. I mean, it's freaking awesome.
Hmm.
That's a very interesting attack.
It's like the modern fatality, but like anime design kind of thing. It's just really cool. And you have to play through as each character in arcade mode to unlock their astral finishes, except for Ragna, the other guy, his brother, and Rachel. Those three have them from the beginning, but everybody else you have to beat arcade mode to unlock their astral finish.
Yeah, because I noticed that when I beat arcade mode with the blue gun chick, I unlocked her.
Yeah, if you beat it with those other three characters, you unlock what's called an unlimited version of them. So
what does the unlimited version mean?
You know, I played with Ragna, and he just has like a different aura about him. It's like he's always got a special move on, like he does more damage or he takes more hit points when he does his drive attack. I don't know. But there is something different about him. I just don't know exactly what it is.
It's a really good game. I really like it. I wish I could have played more of it. But unfortunately, I was either in a hospital room or the ER room the past couple weeks. So that's going to be one of the games I catch up with. But okay, on with the portable gaming.
On with the portable.
I played a little bit of... on the DS, Shin Megumi Tensei Devil Survivor. And that's a pretty sweet game. Really sweet. I mean, I know I talked about it last week, and I think thing is, I've basically been level grinding pretty much most of the time. The story is very cool. It has to do with the Tower of Babel. It has to do with, like, some kind of God's vengeance on the world because... like technology is like getting so advanced that people look towards technology, you know, in place of God, you know. So I guess it's something like God gets peed off and some demons come out and you have to
God gets mad, demons arrive.
Demons come out and you fight demons and you recruit demons. To fight demons. Interesting. And get this. There's even a demonic auction.
A demonic auction?
A demonic auction. Where they auction off demons.
Are these demons that have been repossessed? Oh, snap!
That's a good...
Wow.
Oh, man. I can't believe you.
Really? With the repossessed demons joke?
It was there. The door was open. I walked in.
It was wide open, man.
This wouldn't be an N4G radio without a terrible joke for
That's
me.
True.
I like that joke, but then again, I like terrible jokes. But it's a really good game. It's the perfect hybrid between RPG and strategy game. Because it really is a hybrid between those two genres.
It's gotcha.
Very, very good. I like how you know it's an overhead strategy battle, kind of like Final Fantasy Tactics. And then when you encounter the enemy opposition, instead of seeing the two units fight, it actually turns into two parties fighting. And then the parties fighting are done in a first person perspective RPG battle system, which is awesome. The game is very hard. It's not very hard because I'm actually, you know, getting through the game a little bit. So, I mean, obviously it's not too hard. Did I just diss myself?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
You did. A little bit.
You did. Yeah.
I did. But the thing is, the Shin Megami Tensei games, or the Megaten games for short, the common trait between them is that they're very, very, very hardcore, like hardcore RPG, like as in...
Hardcore!
As in,
hardcore.
You know, you have to level grind all the time. This game's no exception. And there's also a lot of bad luck that happens in the game, where the game will screw you. Like, the enemy opposition just got an extra turn all of a sudden because they did a critical attack or something.
Those bastards.
Yeah. The Mega 10 games, they always have this system in every, like sub-series, like the Persona series or the main series, Nocturne, stuff like that. They always have this system that's implemented into all their games where there's somehow an element of bad luck that happens, that can happen at any time, that even if you're doing really well at the game, this whatever it might be, it depends on the game, but there's always some kind of a bad luck that could trigger via an event or whatnot, and it could just turn the tide on the battle. I think that's one of the things that all the Mega 10 games have in common, is that they have that your luck can run out pretty quick. The game always keeps you on your toes. You always have to try to think two steps ahead, because once you get comfortable in those type of games, they like to destroy you pretty easily. But play a little bit of that. Another game I played on the PSP.
PSP.
Dude, I tell you, past 2 weeks, I've played my PSP more than I've ever played it. Ever.
It's all because of one game, right?
It's all because of two games.
Snap.
I played Holy Invasion of Privacy. Badman. Why this happened to me. Yes. Longest title ever.
It can't even fit anywhere.
Yeah.
Surprised I got it on the box.
I think that the price...
Oh, wait. There is no box.
Oh, there you go.
Download only.
Yeah. But this is probably like the longest title of a game ever. I think the other title would probably be Shin Megumi Tensei Devil Summoner Radul versus King Abdurma or something. I think that is probably the longest.
That's probably the longest.
That's probably the hardest title to say ever, too.
Probably, yeah. But Holy Invasion of Privacy Badman, or Badman for short, or Holy Invasion. Well, I don't know. Whatever.
We could just say Badman and be done with it.
It's a very, very cool game where you play as... Your role in the game is the God of Destruction. You are the end-all, be-all, malevolent evil in the world that this game takes place in. And basically, you're basically protecting this dark overlord or whatever he is. He's this evil guy. He looks like Count Chocula or Count Dracula. And
because those two look alike.
Yes, they do.
One of them's chocolate.
Yes.
They still look a lot.
Yeah, but Dracula doesn't look as tasty, you know. It's chocolate.
This is true.
I want to suck your cocoa.
Oh, wow. That was a little close to dangerous. A little close to dangerous.
One letter away, actually.
Oh, Gambus. Where were you going with that?
Hey, I gotta live on the edge sometime, don't
gotta
I?
Gotta live on the edge.
It's a good thing
we're living on the edge.
Good thing we didn't have a Freudian slip there.
Yeah, but this game's very good. It's kind of like a tower defense game, but without the towers.
It's like a dungeon defense game.
Yeah. You make the dungeon. And the thing is, there's these like nutrients that are growing on blocks, and basically when you, the game doesn't really make any sense when you're describing it to someone. It makes more sense when you're actually playing it. But it's like when you like destroy the blocks, like if it's got nutrients, the nutrients, you know, give birth to like slimes, and the slimes are basically the basic building blocks of life. It's kind of like
in real life.
Yeah, it's like an evolution
of slime.
It's kind of hard to explain. It's kind of like a mixture of a tower defense game and a dungeon making game and a evolution system game at the same time. And basically, you create monsters, and monsters, you know, they give birth to more powerful
monsters. Will be monsters.
Yeah. And you're basically creating this dungeon, and you're making monsters in the progress. You know, you start off with slimes, and then it evolves to like these flies, and then.
Boy, this sounds like it's just chock full of nutrients.
Yes.
Nutrients.
And then it evolves into these like little these little like elf dudes or something. Or
I've always known that flies evolved into elf dudes.
Well, actually, they're probably elf chicks because they have these really high pitched voices. They might be female.
No, they're probably elf dudes.
They're probably dudes.
Yeah, they're probably dudes. But then you go from there, and then you eventually like get dragons. You start breeding dragons. It's pretty cool. And the thing is, like when the base of the game is that the heroes come to the dungeon. They come to the bad dude's castle.
Are you a bad enough dude to save the dungeon master?
Yes. They come to the castle and they go to the underground fortress, the secret fortress, you know.
My secret lair.
Yes. And you have a whole bunch of monsters waiting for them. And they're basically trying to traverse the dungeon to make it to the evil overlord. But you, as the god of destruction, have to divert that tactic from occurring. So basically, you're basically breeding monsters and creating complex dungeons. It's pretty cool because I make the dungeons really complicated, man. I make it to where the heroes have to go through a whole, like they have to like do a bunch of zigzag all over the place, you know, to even make it to the dude, you know. So in other words, another strategy of the game is that you have to make it to where monsters will congregate in certain areas, and because if they're all just spread out, they could easily be taken out by the heroes, the enemy opposition, if you will. But what you want to do is you want to get a lot of monsters into one place. Or if you have some really powerful monsters, then you can kind of let them be like a dragon. Like if you have a dragon and it's a narrow hallway, he'll shoot his fire out of his mouth and it'll go straight down the hallway toward the heroes. And that's always cool watching the heroes getting flamed up. Pretty good.
Nothing but, like a little barbecued hero.
Exactly.
Barbecued
hero.
And the writing's good. I mean,
that's the new Activision music game.
barbecue hero. It's not even a music game. It comes with tongs, and you have to flip the meat at the correct time.
Oh, no, there's definitely music. It's just a banjo playing in the background.
Exactly.
Don't diss on the banjo.
Barbecue.
But what's interesting about this game is that
barbecue.
It's full of anime, not anime, but RPG cliches. But the game really isn't an RPG.
Gotcha.
It's a beautiful game all around. And if you want to play a PSP, you should definitely pick it up when it comes out on the PSN.
Yeah,
it's a freaking awesome game.
And I'll be doing a review for this game.
We should have it live this week.
Yes,
we have a lot of exciting things coming out this week. I'll have to plug that later, but we really do.
Sweet. And last game I played.
Last game.
A lot of. Is,
Let's do this.
Is Monster Hunter.
Monster Hunter.
I'm like.
Monster Hunter.
I'm over 20 hours into the game now.
20 monsters. Hours?
Yeah, and most of that has been within the past 2 weeks.
Holy cheese and rice.
And get this.
Get it.
I actually had my first multiplayer experience with it.
Oh, yeah?
Did you play with somebody we know?
Carlos from GameStop.
Mm, gotcha.
Yeah, I got to give a shout-out to Carlos. Hey, crap, I'll save another shout-out for
Save your shout, son.
But shout-out to Carlos from GameStop. He's basically my sensei or my sifu of Monster Hunter. He's shown me the ropes. He's a... I think he said he's a rank level 9 hunter. I'm still level 1. I'm freaking over 20 hours into it. I'm still level 1. And
this is why I don't play WoW.
The thing is, this game is so freaking addictive. I mean, you don't even know. It's like the game is really
no.
The game is very, very hard to play. It's very difficult. It's got a lot of intricate systems built into it. You know, not only do you hunt monsters, you can also farm, you can fish, you can mine ore from the mountains, and then you go to the town, and you can make weapons and armor from not just monster parts, but also from certain ores, stones, material.
Can you make monsters from mommy parts?
You cannot.
Damn.
But you can make hunters from mommy and daddy parts.
Yay! I learned something today.
It takes 9 months, though.
That's too wrong.
The anticipation.
It builds and grows.
Yep.
And judging by some of the kids I see running around, you apparently can also make monsters from mommy and daddy parts.
There's a lot of things you can make from mommy and daddy parts.
Yes.
Some of those words are not allowed on radio.
But anyway, me and Carlos, we played a two-player game of Monster Hunter. We played for about an hour and a half. And in that hour and a half, I think we actually completed something like 6 or 7 quests within an hour and a half, which is really unprecedented if you're playing it as a single-player campaign, because he was wanting to show me the ropes, but of course he's got his rank level 9 hunter playing in my my playing field.
Right.
So monsters that take me like 5 or 6 attacks to kill, he goes up to them, hits them once, and they drop dead. And I'm like, hey, thanks, man. So we're going up to bosses. He'll get to the boss before I do, because here's another thing about the game. It's got kind of long load times, like in between each zone. It's like several seconds. It's like 10 seconds or something like that between each zone. It's really annoying, right? He made it to the boss. Like we would begin the stage, and he already knows where the boss is. He'll automatically start sprinting towards where the boss is in this stage, right? Not attacking any creatures on the way. He's just running straight for the boss, and I'm running behind him. He makes it to the boss when I'm still halfway through the stage, and he's like, basically like, I'm just dodging the boss, man. I'm not even attacking him. I'm just dodging him. I'm waiting for you to get here. So then I actually get there, and it's like this boss is like this giant, like velociraptor, and he's like, okay, go ahead, hit it a couple times. I'm just hitting it a couple times. The thing is, I already fought this thing several times, and it killed me continuously because I'd be chopping this sucker up like probably 50, 60 times and still wouldn't die. So I get a couple hits in, right? And he's like, have you had enough fun already? I'm like, sure. He's like, bam, 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 and it's dead. And I'm like, holy crap.
That's awesome.
He like killed it in like 3 sword swipes. It was freaking amazing.
Do you earn anything from him killing you?
Yes.
All right.
I actually earned like experience points, gold points, not gold, but the currency that they use. I forgot what it is, but man, it was awesome. And we did like 7 quests like that, and we went to all these other places. Like went to a jungle. Oh, I gotta tell you about this. The jungle boss is this gigantic pink gorilla.
So it's the same as the one. Like it's got a lot of the same monsters as the last one.
Yeah,
gotcha.
And it farts. And it farts, and it's like this big yellow cloud that comes out of its backside. And you actually have to use an item called deodorant to get rid of the smell.
Yeah, it's the truth.
It's pretty sweet.
All right, so playing
being farted anything? On by a big pink gorilla. That's pretty sweet. All right.
And oh, by the way,
sounds like a weekend at Wombat's house. What's up?
Snack.
Oh yeah,
I was waiting. Somebody had to tell that joke. Damn it!
Just recently, I was able to create a samurai sword katana.
Is it a Hitari Hanzo sword? There's only like 5 of those in the world.
Hitari Hanzo.
No, why that was funny.
It's actually kind of like a really long katana sword, kind of like Sephiroth.
You trying to compensate?
Yes, I am.
Gotta have. I know I do.
And I gotta have my long sword, really long sword.
Shing.
But yeah, I'm. Sound effect. I think I'm addicted to the game.
Well, maybe you should write a review for it after you finish Batman.
Batman. Yeah.
Wait, to the party.
Oh.
Nice. Hey, at least it's back.
Hey, Link to
back.
The past.
At least it's back.
Yeah.
So you play anything else?
That's it.
That's it?
Yeah.
It only took you 30 minutes to get through all that.
Oh, yeah.
So we're good.
Yeah.
What an epic journey.
Future Fondling, more Batman, more Monster Hunter, more Devil Survivor, and I want to get back into Infamous and BlazBlue.
Wow.
And I forgot a shout-out.
Okay.
And I shouldn't have forgot the shout-out because it was really fun. Played with Maze 13.
On
BlazBlue.
BlazBlue?
Yeah. What's kind of weird is that it was laggy. Like, certain fights were really laggy, but they were still playable. And then other fights were silky smooth. It kind of fluctuated between laggy and smooth.
Hmm.
So it's kind of weird. But when we played, he was further along in the game than I was. He's been playing it a lot more than I've been able to. But he's pretty good at it. And it was really fun playing with Maze 13.
All right. So now we move on to the Wombat with his
no
sound
future
effects.
Fondling? Did he hit the future?
Yeah,
I did.
I
missed it.
Yeah.
So let's see. What did I play? The last 2 weeks have been not actually a whole lot of new gaming for me, but I did play... finally played Prototype, which everybody had been talking about and I hadn't had a chance to experience since I'd been back from vacation. And I liked it. I thought it was a lot of fun.
It's a good game.
It definitely, I think Zero Tolerance has similar feelings to me that it definitely grows on you the more you play it. But I don't know. I had some trouble with the controls for the first little while. Not so much. I know you said you had trouble with the aiming.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have so much trouble with the aiming. It was more the locomotion aspect of it that I had some troubles with. Just because it didn't seem as precise as a lot of the games in that genre are, because there's so much going on. You know, after I got past that, I had a lot of fun with the game. I definitely think it's worth a rent, at least. From folks, if they're not willing to buy it. I also played Fight Night, which I also should have a review in this week on. And it's great. It's Fight Night, but it's fantastic. I love the game. I'm bummed that there's no button controls. I'm hoping that they patch that in.
Which they are.
Yeah, I heard that they were planning to. So I hope they do that sooner rather than later.
It's what you get when you ignore your fans.
Yeah.
And then you get all the backlash.
Yeah. But I love the gameplay. I love the career mode. I like the fact that there's three different ways that you can create your boxer. You can either pick a stockhead. You can you can take a picture with, like, if you have the PSI or the vision cam. Or you can upload a picture of the front of your face and the side of your face to EA's website, and then you can download it from EA's website into your game and make your guy's head that way. The only thing that sucks about that, though, is that once you, if you decide, if you don't have a camera or you don't want to upload a picture up, you have to pick one of the stock heads, and you can't adjust any of them. Like, you can't make any adjustments to them at all.
So it's not like the game face from Tiger Woods?
No. So that kind of sucks. But, you can make adjustments to, like, skin tone and hair and eyebrows and stuff, but any of the advanced sliders, like where you can move the nose out and stuff, they're only if you import your own face.
That's weird. Yeah.
And then, let's see, what else did I play? Probably not much more than those two, to be honest. Seems like there was something else, but I'm not thinking of it right now. I played some Xenonia on iPhone, which is a lot of fun.
It's like Zelda, right?
It's basically, it looks a lot like Zelda, controls a lot like Zelda. But it's got, like, sort of the deeper RPG leveling system, and you've got, like, your strength, dexterity, all that stuff that you can level up, and then you have, like, a skill tree, and then it's got loot and...
Sounds kind of like the Ease series.
It's very similar, I'd say.
Looks fantastic.
And it's phenomenal, especially for an iPhone game. Also, what else did I play? I played, I sort of took a trip in the Wayback Machine this week and played a lot of Super Nintendo games, so that was a lot of my gaming this week. I did play, I haven't talked about Age of Pirates yet on here, have I?
No, you have not talked about
it. Because I got it
after
the last, show. So I got this game, Age of Pirates, Pirates 2, City of the Abandoned Ships, to review for PC. And it's not very good. But it's like you make a pirate guy with a very limited customization thing where you basically just pick one of three characters and then you pick whether you want to be a
merchant.
What
kind of pirate do you make?
Not a butt pirate, if that's what you're asking.
Oh!
The graphics are terrible, first off. I mean, no offense to if the creators of the game are listening to this, but they're terrible. It looks like, and before anybody asks, my computer is more than up to the task to run it. It runs it on the highest settings of everything, and it still looks terrible. It looks sort of like Morrowind. And Morrowind was made in 2001.
That was only 8 years ago.
Hey, it could be a retro title.
There's no continue or anything. If you die, you have to reload your last save point.
I hate that.
And you want to talk about a game with a steep learning curve. It basically, you start out on an island, okay? Well, you start out on the boat, and then he teaches you how to play the game, which you basically have to have three hands to play effectively.
Game you needed three hands?
The reason I say that is because, okay, you move your character around just like you do in every third-person PC game with the WASD keys, and then the mouse makes you look left or right or turn. The only problem is, in order to do anything, like open a door, talk to somebody, anything like that, you have to hit the enter key, and then... you have to tab over to the thing that you want to do with the arrow key. Now,
oh, that sounds sloppy.
One would think
really sloppy.
One would think that when talk to NPC is one of your options, it would be the first thing. You would just hit the enter key, and then you would hit the enter key again, and that would be no. You have to arrow over to get to talk, which is the second thing over or third thing, depending on what you're doing. And then hit the enter key. So if you're trying to talk to a bartender, you walk up to the bar, bartender's pacing back and forth. You hit enter. The talk thing pops up. You arrow over to it, but by the time you arrow over to it, the bartender's walked away. So it now doesn't say talk anymore. It says speak out loud, but it's too late for you to not hit the enter key. So you hit the enter key, and your guy just says something out loud to nobody. And you have to wait till the bartender comes back again. Or if the worst is when you're trying to talk to somebody that's walking, because you're trying to walk alongside him with WASD and hit enter and, like, arrow over to talk, so you've got it ready.
Oh, my God.
But then you've got to use the mouse to turn to line up with him. And then you got to, like, wait till you're perfectly lined up with him and go over and hit enter real quick so that it'll talk to him.
Oh, man, that sounds terrible.
And then... like, I think the thing that bothers me the most about it is that the game seems like it has a lot of promise because it's huge. It's like the whole Caribbean for you to explore, and it's got a lot. The instruction manual is incredibly thick. There's so much stuff to do. It's very ambitious. It's just not delivered on.
No wonder the instruction manual is really big. They devoted a whole chapter of just walking
exactly.
The NPCs.
Talking about difficulty curve. You start out on the island, or you start out on the boat. The guy asks you if you want to learn how to fight. So you learn how to fight, which, by the way, fighting involves the three mouse buttons, each do a different attack, and space bar blocks. But there are also, not everything can be blocked, so there are other defensive moves which are also mapped to the three mouse buttons, but you have to hold shift when you want to, and click one of the three mouse buttons when you want to use one of those.
Wow.
So, yeah. It's the most overcomplicated game I've ever played in my life. Part of that, to be completely honest, part of that is because I'm not used to playing on PC anymore. I'm used to having a controller where everything's right there. But I have played modern PC games, just not as much as console games, and none of them control this terribly.
Could you hook up a controller and play?
You know, I haven't tried. I need to check that out when I get home. But as far as I know, you cannot, because I don't know how you'd be able to do that.
The thing is, though, it'd probably take you about 2 or 3 hours just to figure out how to map everything to the controller.
There's too many controls. I don't know that you could use a game controller.
Hmm.
At least not effectively, if the option's even there.
Like playing StarCraft on the N64.
Yeah.
But
I cried a little when I did that.
So after you learn how to fight, it drops you off in the town. And actually, it doesn't even drop you off. Your guy says, okay, I'm going to go to town. So he goes out into town. And you have no money. It starts you out with $0, zero gold. So you can't buy a crew yet. You can't upgrade your weapons. If you try and steal anything, as soon as you walk out of the house that you tried to steal it from, the guards are there, and they will promptly murder you.
They automatically know.
They automatically know that you stole.
It's that guilt on your face.
And
that's the emotion engine.
Yeah.
So there's really, what you have to do is you have to go to the pub, you go to the tavern or whatever, and the game says, or you go up to the bartender after you get him to stop walking past you, and you talk to him and you say, you know, do you have any work that needs done? And a bartender always, every town I've started in, every time I restarted the game, every time, he always says, well, I got this guy that wants to be taken somewhere. Or there was just a patron in here talking about how he needed to go somewhere, and then the guy shows up behind you. And he says,
hey, I'm that guy.
He says,
I'm
hey,
that guy.
I need to go to St. Vincent. Can you take me there? And you say, yeah, sure, that's fine. So he gets on your ship. And
so you got a ship but no money?
You got a ship. Yeah, you do have a ship. You start out with a ship.
You use it as collateral from a loan.
You're the captain. there are loan places, but I couldn't figure out how to get him to give me a loan.
Must have been that guilt on your face because you're a thief.
So I get, to be honest, I'm sure there is a way to get a loan before you start. I just couldn't figure it out. So, I mean, that's one of those things where I'll have to figure out how exactly that works. But this is all like my first attempt at playing the game. So I'm like, okay, well, let's take this motherfucker to St. Vincent. Make some money. So we get on the boat, and your boat moves very, very slow. As most boats do.
Well, it is a pirate ship. Yeah. You know?
It moves like 5 miles an hour. So it's going literally 5 miles
an
hour.
Is that nautical miles?
Probably.
There you go.
So it's going. It's rocking along. And invariably, never in, I'd say, 25 reloads of the game, never made it out of the port of the first city without getting attacked by pirates. And so
you get attacked by pirates,
and they start shooting cannonballs at you. So you have to try and shoot them back.
Just one person.
It's a very
you running between each one.
It's a very accurate simulation because the cannonballs take at least 7.5 days to load. You start out loaded. So you turn your ship towards them, you're like, yeah, fuck you, pirates. Boom, fire cannons. You shoot 8 cannons at them, all of which subsequently miss. And the ship keeps coming towards you, shooting you, like, every 2 seconds, because apparently they were the first ones to invent machine gun cannons, and they just keep shooting. So you're like, all right, well, I need to shoot them again. But you're not going to be able to, because by the time your cannons load, your ship will be exploded into a million pieces. So you just have to close the distance. So you get closer and closer. Meanwhile, they're shooting the shit out of you. You get closer and closer until finally when you get close enough, the little load screen comes up, and you board the ship. So you board the ship, and your dude comes out, and he's got his sword out, and seven pirates promptly come straight for you and murder you before you can do anything. I mean, you might get one or two hits in, or you might get a couple good, like, blocks in. Or if you're lucky enough and you can find a spot on the ship where you can, like, shimmy up and there's just a walkway wide enough for one guy, you can wipe a couple of them out on your own.
So it's like you're Earl Flynn.
Basically.
You're like, I'll take you all on
basically,
by myself.
I had to put all of the... This game is not for, it's for the hardcore, for sure. Like, it's not for the people who just want to go on there and be, oh, I'm a pirate, I can slice people up.
It's people who actually dress up as Captain Jack Sparrow on a daily basis.
It's for people who actually want the experience of what it was probably like to actually be a pirate and all of the horribleness that entailed. But yeah, if you expect to treat it like a hack and slash where the enemies are sort of weak at first, and you can just kind of hack through a couple of them, like you can fight seven of them off by yourself,
yeah,
it's not going to happen. Until I learned that I had to, like, find a little cubby hole, like, back into the where only one of them could attack me at a time.
It didn't make you feel like a badass pirate, does it?
No, it doesn't. It makes you feel like a cowering ship captain who is just begging that one of the other pirates will accidentally stab their brethren in a breakneck attempt to end your life. I ended up having to reload the game 25 times just getting out of the first harbor because I'm obviously terrible at it. And also one last thing that I will mention is that if you switch to the map view, you can control your ship from there. And your ship goes like 600 miles an hour.
Wow.
It makes me wonder why they even included the on ship part at all.
Because
except
it's
for the
realistic.
Combat. Yeah, but you're still moving at the same speed. Like time just speeds up when you're going faster or whatever. But seriously, when you're in the map screen. You push the up arrow key, and it's like,
so let me get this straight. It's a pirate game, like in the old days of piracy. You have certain ships that have jet engines attached to them.
Only if you're looking at the map at the time. So if the captain ever pulled out the map, the ship instantly went 20 miles an hour faster.
And you also have some other pirates who have... automatic cannonball launchers.
Automatic cannonball launchers. No, it's just their cannons always seem to load so much faster than mine. And
that's
probably because
they
had a lot
more
of
people.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
You're one dude running from cannon to cannon, putting balls in it.
But it was either that or the Dutch. I got attacked by the fucking Dutch every time. Every time I'd leave port, I'd either get attacked by pirates or the Dutch, because apparently the Dutch hated my guts. So
obviously.
Yeah. But anyways, like I said, it's a very ambitious game, and if you're one of those people who doesn't mind, like, super unwieldy controls to the point where it's just, like, so overcomplicated you can barely stand it, if you can handle that and you don't mind the steep difficulty curve, there's a lot of cool stuff in it. It's just not user-friendly at all, and graphically it looks terrible. And in my experience, it just wasn't very fun. But there is a lot of really cool stuff to be found there if you're willing to devote the time into learning every control in the game and really diving into it. It's probably got some stuff there for you, but just not for me.
When are they going to make a good pirate game?
I don't know.
You know, I think they should make a pirate game like based on the GTA engine.
That would be a good pirate game. I tell you, they did make a good pirate game. It was called Sid Meier's Pirates.
Yes.
Well, yeah, but that's like... You know, it's been a while.
Yeah. So, anyways, that was a very long explanation of Age of Pirates 2, but
yeah,
it's a very accurate portrayal of my first attempt at the game because the difficulty curve is so high.
Thanks for taking us on that journey.
Yeah,
cracked me up. was good.
I feel like that little sound, like the little music, the little pirate music playing in my head now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that plays throughout the whole thing.
Let me tell you a tale. Gather out, children.
Arr! Anyway.
So, yeah, my future fondling is not more of Age of Pirates 2. my future... I'm sure there's probably one guy out there listening to this podcast that's like, you're fucking crazy. Age of Pirates 2 is the best game ever.
Wait a minute.
No, my future fondling includes Blaze Blue, and I may actually end up buying Red Faction.
Damn
just
straight.
For the multiplayer.
Aww.
Yeah.
I'll try the single player and see if I can get myself to like it. But,
so, which system are you picking Blaze Blue for?
You know, I'll probably end up buying Blaze Blue for the PS3, honestly.
Sweet.
No epic battles for me and you.
I know. That's the thing that sucks. Damn it. Why do you two have to get different versions, and why do I have to have an arcade stick for the PS3?
I got the PS3 version.
I know. That's what I said. Why'd you have to get two different versions?
Because
it means if I buy the one, I can play with you, but not you.
Yeah.
They're just scurred.
They're running scurred.
That's what it is.
Skirt.
You don't want none of my...
Whatever, man. I'll buy it and take you on. Whatever.
You both. You both. Or you have both the PS3 and Xbox versions of Street Fighter. Or did, at least. And you never once challenged me in Street Fighter.
That's because I never saw you online.
Oh.
That's because he's scared.
He's scared. That's what it is. So, anyways. I want to play Blaze Blue. I want to play Red Faction this week. And then whatever else tickles my fancy.
I would hope that you would buy Red Faction for the 360, considering the only two people in this room that are playing it online.
Yeah.
We don't have a PS3 version.
Yeah, that's definitely a 360 purchase.
Yeah,
but,
I plan on getting that for 360.
I also want to play a lot more Fight Night, too, because Fight Night's the bomb. So.
All right, so we move
Fight
on
Night.
To Killer Wolverine.
First up, I got a shout-out, and I have an apology for him, too. Fido Dido sent me a message Saturday. When I was playing the Bigs.
Bigs.
But we had the notifications turned off on the Xbox because we were messing around with some
video
project stuff.
Good stuff.
So, so shout out to him. And he apparently is, this week, Vegas is hosting the Super Bowl of Fighting Games. EVO 2009 is happening. He signed up for it for Street Fighter 4. So we wish him the
there
best of luck for that. Hopefully he does well this week. I don't know when it is,
awesome.
He didn't say, but it's this week. So, good luck to him.
Whoops some ass.
Yep,
indeed.
Whoops some ass,
kill it.
Indeed. All right. I play a little bit of Red Faction, trying to get back into that, trying to beat it. Still awesome. I bought a...
still awesome.
Still. It will
awesome.
Always be awesome.
Awesome!
I got N Plus when it was on sale for the Xbox.
Crazy ninja exploding game.
Yeah.
Explode. Your head explode.
It's fun.
You explode.
I can see it being really frustrating.
Very tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Again, well, whoop your ass, man.
I actually did a review of that.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, a long time ago.
So I know I'm late to the party on that, but it's 400 points, and I had 400 points to spare. So.
Long time ago.
The jumping's going to take me a while to get used to, but...
It's a little floaty.
It's going to get a little frustrating, I know.
It kind of reminds me of a little bit of Ninja Gaiden, the original, like way back in the day.
Back in the day.
Back in the day.
I need to also real quick send a shout out to Odeon because I saw he made a thread on the forum about Two Worlds 2 and how Wombat must be really excited. I saw the thread. I am really excited about Two Worlds 2. I couldn't respond to the thread because I can't. For some reason, N4G's forums don't work with my iPhone. Like, I don't know what's going on with it. It won't let me post on the forum. But I am really excited about Two Worlds 2.
You know what's awesome about Two Worlds 2? Okay, I had to make a joke about this the other day. It's coming out for Mac, right?
Okay.
It is coming out for Mac. Nothing on the Mac ever crashes, right?
Yeah, that's a lie.
This might be the first.
Two Worlds is going to be the first game to crash on the Mac, guaranteed.
Either that, or it will be the version to buy.
No, it'll just crash.
You know what, though? If they can deliver with the second one on the promise that the first game had, it should be really good. The problem with the first game is it had a lot
sucked.
Of promise,
the whole
but it
game.
Sucked.
The problem with the first game is when you hit power.
When you put it in.
To turn it on, at least.
Yeah, turn it on. Shit, I can't even get it to load. What the hell?
I ended up buying Sorry Sliders and played a little bit of that. It's fun.
Sounds dirty.
It sounds like a horrible fast food thing.
Something White Castle would say.
Yeah.
Sorry Sliders. Sounds like you're the asshole that came to the party with White Castle. Sorry Sliders.
You're definitely sorry after you eat them. Yeah. That's the
no your doubt. Butt sorry.
Okay.
That's what I was going for. You just said it more explicitly.
Yeah, you know it works.
It's actually a lot of fun.
It's like shuffleboard.
And it's probably the only game that I would, you know, say it might be worth the $10, but still, it's hard for me to say.
For what system?
360.
I think it's awesome.
It's family game night.
What I think is awesome about you always saying that none of those games are worth $10, how many of them have you bought?
I said this one might be the one to buy.
I know, but...
I bought them all, but I don't agree with most of them being $10. This one I might agree with, because it's just... awesome.
Did you expect something else with Yahtzee?
No! Motherfucker! We will take this shit outside.
Well, we can, but it's hot.
It's hot in here. What the fuck?
It is hot in here.
It's getting hot in here.
It's been hot in here.
The only reason why I might say it's worth $10 is I don't think there's an actual board game of it.
You could probably make it up. You could make like a little target slide your slider.
Game back when I was a kid growing up. I think it was called Rebound.
Yeah, Rebound.
Which this is something sort of
like... Yeah, I think... Was it Rebound?
I can't remember. I know it's got bound
I know exactly what you're talking about, where you slide it down. Yeah,
and this is exactly like that, but the board is square, and it's like in the middle is the actual game board. You have the four runways on each side of the board, and inside it's the actual target.
That was a great game.
Looks like a dartboard, so... You just slide them. The point is to get points. At the end of each round, there's it brings you to a scoreboard screen and has four individual scorecards for each color. How many points you earn on the board, you move a character that many. So if you earn 5 points, you move one pawn 5 spaces. And then ultimately, you got to get all 4 pawns home, like, you know, typical Sorry. So, but
you
just roll them with the... The left or right stick, pull back, push forward on either one. It doesn't matter which one you use. And the points are 1, 2, 3, and 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And at each corner of the board, there's just like this black space. And if you hit someone into it or you run off into it, it's Sorry. You lose that pawn. You don't get any points. So
Sorry.
It's kind of interesting. Kind of adds a little bit more strategy.
A little flavor.
So it's a... I like it. It's really fun. So there's some other game modes. One has you have the board spinning. One adds some special power up, you know, like cubes that you can use. So.
Cubes.
It's pretty cool. I like it. I played a little bit more Peggle. I'm still stuck on one challenge that I want to beat before I move on.
Peggle.
It's not very far into it. I'm only on like the third set of challenges.
It is definitely Rebound, by the way.
Is it Rebound, really? Yeah.
We haven't mentioned the word Peggle on this podcast in like a month.
Yeah, man, I got hankering to play it.
You know what's funny? Is I told, when we were in Florida, I told Alex's cousin that she needed to download Peggle, and she did, and now she says she's addicted to it.
Yeah. It's because Peggle is awesome.
It is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm stuck on the last challenge, not the last challenge of the third tier, but like the third one, the ones that have the two circles. Spending, I can't get 300,000 points? Yeah, 300,000. I can't get that to save my life.
Wow.
I've gotten close, but...
I'm on, like, 7.
Well, I'm not moving on until I pass that, until I fix or beat that. I can't beat that one for some stupid reason, so I'm stuck there.
Oh, Peggle.
I downloaded and bought Battlefield 1943.
Yeah.
Not bad.
That game's awesome.
It's I've never played a Battlefield game besides Modern Combat and Bad Company, so this was interesting, and it was brought to my attention because I didn't know anything about Battlefield 1942. That's where Battlefront got its premise, which I had a lot of fun playing stuff with Battlefront. So it's what three maps,
three right now.
Types of characters you choose from: Scout, which is the sniper, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep,
Rifleman and
Basically, like a rifleman's a long range, and then a soldier is like a short range.
Yeah,
yeah.
So, if you can get into a match, which you can, it's not as hard as it when it launched on Wednesday. But
when you get in, though, you're golden.
Yeah, you're in
because you just keep going from map to map and playing. Once you get into a game, and what was funny, the second time we tried, we got right in.
Yeah.
But the first time we tried, it just like loaded for like 12 years.
Yeah. It when I first played it on when I actually got to play it on Thursday, it took me a while to get in. But when you get in, you're in until you back out, and it's a lot of fun. It's just capturing post, recapturing post, shooting people. Yes. Yes, that game was fun. Rebound.
Rebound.
Yes.
For sure.
So, but there is some still lag issues, but I guess that's because
they're putting more and more
servers
up every day.
By the time they get this server, if it hasn't been fixed already, I'm sure it'll run
for a downloadable game. It's freaking sweet.
Yeah, once I hear that everything's copacetic and that it's running fine, I'm going to buy it, but I want to wait until that first because I don't want to deal with the frustration.
Yeah,
like, I don't want to buy it and deal with the frustration.
It's just, it's one of those games that's just like, it's so awesome that it's $15.
Yeah. Right.
It's just freaking awesome.
And I guess they didn't imagine that many people buying it.
I don't know what they were thinking, dude.
I don't know.
A sequel to Battlefield 1942 that's downloadable for $15, everybody's going to buy it.
So. Exactly.
So, yeah, well, I'm sure they are close to fixing, if not already.
I imagine they are.
I like the only I don't drive vehicles that much in this game, and there's a reason for it. It's just the driving controls just aren't good, and I know you can change them, but I haven't messed around with that much because I'm not really interested in flying a plane or.
Dude, those maps are so big, I can't walk everywhere.
That's all I do.
I got to drive.
I always
because I hate walking for 10 minutes and then just dying.
Well, see the whole point of. I play by myself the first time, and it's just the whole team just divided up into their own individual things. So they're not playing it team-based, which I guess you can play it that way. You don't have to, but I went off and just captured flags while they just went out killing people, which, hey, it works. I'll go behind, capture the flags while they do all the dirty work, so whatever. I don't need to fly a plane or anything. So, but the worst part is flying a plane. Once you get used to it, I'm sure it's, you know, not bad, but... You turn with the right stick, and when you just barely tap it, you fucking turn. So, it's... I gotta give more time with the plane, but right now it's... No. No, it's not for me. But it's fun, and I don't know. I like it. And then I played the Bigs, too, which... It's the Bigs.
It's the Bigs.
What else you say about it, you know?
So is that a good thing?
Yeah, if you like arcade baseball.
Sweet.
If you like realism, you would want to skip it and play the show.
I'm interested to have that create a. Was that create a legend? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, become
you
a legend.
You start in the Mexican league and you move up to the MLB.
You are injured playing in the big leagues, and then you rehab.
It's supposed to be your character from the last bigs gets injured and loses all of his. Ability or whatever.
Yeah.
So
you go through rehab and then you start off with the Mexican minors.
Right.
And then you do it's only three sets of challenges to get back to the bigs, but once you do it's pretty interesting. And then you go back and do you know, all the different challenges for the different cities and play different games and everything. And I'm eager to play the online home run pinball because that's the new feature. So I don't think anything really much has changed besides that. It's still got the one thing I did notice was the I guess the training.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when you can do fielding, hitting,
right.
And running? I remember the first one. The biggest trouble was the running one. That would suck. This one it changed. You don't have to hold the left stick to move them. It does that for you. You just do the corresponding button press.
Gotcha.
So if you got to turn left, it'll stay on the screen. Stick left, and then hit A. But you really got to be on your game. You got to be really paying attention and knowing where the buttons are because it gives you a second, if that, to hit the button. If you don't, you'll fail the challenge or whatever. So you really got to be on your game playing this because there's a lot to do. And I think it added a new catch.
Got a legendary catch.
Which is it's cool. And then you got the other catches. I don't know. I forget playing last year if there's a catch where you got to hold down a button and release at a certain time. Is that?
I can't remember if that was in last year or not.
I don't know if it was, but
yeah, I don't
was the dugout catch last year? I don't think I remember seeing
that. Yeah, I don't think I remember that.
Yeah, they added that too, which I still to this point don't know how to do it.
Yeah, because I haven't got my copy of it yet, so I haven't actually played the new one.
Well,
but
I
can't remember.
I've tried to do the dugout catch twice, but it didn't give me much time to see
right.
what I have to do. So I don't know how to do it. But,
gotcha.
It's good. It added a new home run thing for power home run for you know the hitters.
Right.
I think.
Yeah. Well, they added. They've got like each of the hitters like special players
yep.
like Derek Jeter, David Ortiz. Yep. They have like different perks, and so like David Ortiz's perk is extra power.
Yeah.
Like Derek Jeter's is if the team's down, like if the team's behind, all his stats go up.
Yep.
So they added stuff like that.
Didn't they hit or add a new like big hit? Like You hit both bumpers, and what it does is, if you have no one on base,
yeah,
you get a series of four quick pitches and four quick hits. The first three you got to just hit singles to advance everyone and get the bases loaded. Then the last hit, it'll slow down, and then he'll launch the ball like he has turbo.
Yeah.
And then you hit the power swing, and you hit a grand slam. So
yeah, it's I can't remember what it's called, like Big Slam, or
I think it's
called
Big Slam.
It's called something like
yeah.
that they added this year.
So it's pretty cool how they did because just the premise. I don't know how to pitch it. I actually had to pitch one of them. I had no idea how to do it. I just pitched once, and then it just took over.
Gotcha.
So I don't know. It's nice to play around with later on, but
right.
It's pretty cool that to do that. So it's fun if you played the bigs. You might want to pick this up just for the added, you know,
right.
little extra stuff. But if you didn't, then, you know, pass it up, I guess. So I'm a big fan of the arcade baseball, though. So, and then I beat Infamous.
Oh, nice.
Really?
And you all need to beat it.
I know. I need to play it. That's the problem.
Were you good or
so
evil?
Gone.
I finished good, which... I'm assuming, and I don't think it's a glitch, but the last few missions, no matter what you do, it's going to turn you a little bit evil, which makes no sense to me.
That's weird.
At all.
Well, I know sometimes when I was playing it, I'd go through like one of the sewer missions,
yeah.
and I wouldn't think I did anything evil
yeah.
at all, and yet when I come out of the sewer,
it
it's like your actions have made you slightly more
yeah.
evil.
There's a few more missions towards the end that do that. I'm like,
huh.
what did I do that was evil?
Right.
I guess it's just part of the story, because that's the only thing I can think, because
gotcha.
Why else would it...
Yeah,
so,
that's weird.
But no, I finished as a hero, and the ending is just awesome. I really wish more people would beat it.
I know, I
phenomenal
really
ending,
to.
Huh?
I was not expecting it.
Oh.
Snap.
And I don't know if the ending will change for Evil or not, but as soon as... Who's playing through Evil? I know
he is.
Only
yeah.
you? Okay.
Well,
when you beat it, we're going to have to discuss if it's changed or not, so...
Well, the ending might be totally different if you're Evil.
Well, that's true. I guess
you might not want to talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, does it set it up for a sequel?
Oh!
Yeah, but don't ruin anything at all.
I don't know. You're going to have to beat it.
I like how he's over here like, oh, everybody needs to beat Infamous when 50% of the room hasn't beat Bioshock.
Yeah, that's true.
Well,
2 years later.
And I'm pretty sure that most of the room hasn't beat Mass Effect.
I have.
You haven't beat Mass Effect.
Yeah.
You haven't beat Mass Effect.
Yes, I did.
Did you? No, you did not.
Another 50% of the room hasn't beat an epic game.
Well, you should be proud that I actually did, and this one is well worth it.
Hey, Mass Effect
well
and Bioshock
it.
Were
I'm not
well
saying they
worth
were.
It.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that, you know, I stuck with it, and that's what I'm going to be doing. So I beat Infamous. My next project's Red Faction. After that, it's going to be Prototype. So,
go.
Since I have no fucking money to buy any damn games anymore.
Oh, but what, there's a drought. What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Drought.
Yeah.
So, what's
said, that needs to be smacked in the face.
What's your future?
My future? I don't know.
What does the future hold?
Fondling ass.
Probably more of the Bigs 2 and Red Faction. And I don't remember the arcade game. Monkey Island. Nah. No Monkey Island.
Monkey Island. Nah.
You're not going to play Monkey Island?
No. I might do the demo, because that's how I got into Battlefield, was the demo, so I might try gotcha. It I don't know. But I think that's it. I don't know. I'd like to still play Fight Night, but that's down the road.
Right.
But I've been rambling on about shit too long. So.
About shit.
Well, we're in the epic fondling.
Ow! Ow!
Got some of that song going on. You even know who that's by?
Everybody.
The
no.
Black something. I can't remember what it was.
I don't remember who it's by.
Everybody.
Could be worse. Everybody. We could be singing, pump up the jam. Pump it up.
Why your feet are pumping. This is 80s. 80s day. What's up?
It's like late 80s.
Technotronic.
Going to 90s.
Yeah.
Getting crazy over there. All right, yeah. Well, I guess I'm going to try to get my fondling in, even though we're an hour and 10 minutes into the show.
Yeah, that's what happens when we miss a week.
The worst part is that I have more than everybody combined.
Well, that's because you're a douche.
Don't be jealous.
Oh, I forgot to mention
one
thing.
What?
Punisher, No Mercy.
Yeah.
Good. All right. Go
ahead. You know what? I watched Punisher, No Mercy being played. I liked the comic book cutscenes, yep. But to me, it just looked like Unreal. So,
and that's, you know, if you played Psycho Cell Factor,
yeah.
It's kind of the same thing without the powers. It's good to see that kind of stuff is on the PSN too. But this one probably
Cell Factor's on the PSN.
I'm sorry.
Snap.
Good for that. But I think this game will really shine online, and gotcha. I really want to play it online sometime. So
I'm looking forward to it.
Thanks for letting me steal
that. Wraps up my PS3 fondling.
Really? That's the only thing you play?
That's the only thing I played on my PS3. I keep like wanting to get it back into Infamous, and I will. I really will finish that.
Ow.
I didn't play anything on my PSP. I had nothing going on this week on the PSP.
I had to do it since you were the one talking.
PSP. On my DS, though, I did play a few things. I played the Transformers.
Transformers,
yes, on the DS. The Autobot Decepticon.
Both of them.
They're the same game.
Now, maybe you
basically.
Maybe you can answer a question for me. I heard this rumor, and maybe you can tell me. The Transformers?
They're more than meets the eye.
I heard they were robots in disguise.
And they're more than meets the eye.
Is that truth? Is there any truth to that?
It's a very true statement.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Very astute of you.
There you go.
Rubber stamp that sumbitch. Valid.
It's good.
Hit that. Yeah.
Really?
It's actually a lot better than the first one. I still like the Battle for Earth mode, where basically you log on to the Wi-Fi, download a new mission every day, and you play depending on which version you have, and then it like shows you a leaderboard on who dominates most of
really?
The world.
A new mission every day?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Badass.
There's online leaderboard.
Well, it's basically like... the people who have the Autobot version, the people who have the Decepticon version, and you log on, you play that mission, and your score goes on a leaderboard, and then they're all tallied, and whoever has the most points in that mission wins that part of the Earth. So it's like a world domination thing between the two versions.
So you can play against the other version?
Yeah, it's basically, but like, it's only scores.
Oh.
It's not like you're playing against
so
other people.
So you can't,
people.
Like, link up Wi-Fi and...
No. You can
cool.
do that in multiplayer mode. There is a Wi-Fi link-up mode where everybody has to have their own cartridge, and you can go on and play Deathmatch and stuff. But the Battle for Earth mode is just, like, you download a mission, you play it, your score goes up, and whichever team has the higher score owns that part of the world.
Sounds pretty extensive for a DS game.
Yeah, it's actually really good, and the controls work really well. There's not a whole lot of touch controls. You just basically switch your weapons with the touch controls. The lock-on takes a little while to get used to, and transforming and driving around is a little off, but for a DS game, it plays really good, and it actually looks pretty good, other than the fact that it looks like they tried way too hard to make it look excellent, so it's kind of blurry and messy in some places.
Yeah.
But if you're a Transformers fan and you have a DS, it's definitely cool to pick. And don't worry about which version you pick. Just pick the one which has the Transformers you want to play as. Because literally the game is almost identical from beginning to end on both versions. It's just told like the story is you play the role of a robot that came from Cybertron, and if you play the Autobot version, Optimus gets there first and he becomes an Autobot, or if you play as the Decepticon version, I think it's Starscream gets there first and you become a Decepticon, I mean, that's basically the only difference.
So you're basically a generic Transformer?
Yeah, they're called like a Protobot or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, the Protoform.
Yeah, and then you go through the tutorial, and then you get to cars, and you get to choose whether you want to be a light, medium, or heavy car, and you scan all three of them, and then you pick the one you want to be.
That is so sweet!
Yeah, it's actually kind of cool, but in the first game, you could scan everything in the environment and transform into it, which I wish they'd have kept that. In this one, once you choose, you're stuck with it, so... It's kind of like Pokemon, and you start off at the beginning. There you go.
Yeah.
And there's two versions. It's just all like Pokemon.
Yeah, man.
Pokemon in disguise.
Pokeformer.
I think that was the big thing I played on the DS. I don't remember if I played anything else. I might have.
Transformon.
I try to keep track of everything. Wii. Did I play anything on the Wii? Transformers.
Hey, what do you know?
On the Wii.
More Transformers.
More Transformers. I played Transformers on everything. The Wii version is weird. I have to review that this week, but it's like it's an entirely different game, but set in the same levels. And you aim on the screen with the Wiimote, your cursor, to shoot enemies, and then you flick it back and forth to do melee attacks. It's kind of generic. It really is, but I mean, it's good. And if you don't have the other version, if you don't have the other consoles, it's still fun to transform and drive. And it actually looks pretty good. And it's different than the other console version, so...
So how's the other console version?
See, then I can seg right into that with the other console versions. I love them. I think it's a great game.
Yeah, I heard it's a vast improvement over the first one.
Huge improvement. Well, it's what happens when you go from putting it in the hands of a team that made... is famous for the Lego games. And then you put it in the hands of the team that made, like, Vigilante 8.
Right.
You know, you have a team that's focuses action games as opposed to kids games. And it's definitely it takes a little while to get used to because you pull the right trigger down, you transform, you drive. There is no, like, two different modes. When you hold down the right trigger, you are transformed. And as soon as you let go, you transform back into a robot. So it takes a little while. It's like if you hold down the right trigger, it's like you're driving in a racing game. You're always holding the gas down. And then you hold the left trigger, you go into fire mode. But it's cool because like you can hold down the right trigger and hold down a face button and then let go of the right trigger and they'll do a move as they transform. Like he'll jump higher or he'll do a ground pound or he'll do an attack. The levels are broken up into different areas and you can kind of pick them and choose them as you go through the story mode. And there's two story modes, obviously, Autobots, Decepticons, but they're basically the same thing all the way through, just playing as different robots. But it plays really good. It looks good. It's fun. So, and the online mode is really fun.
I heard that the online mode is freaking incredible.
Yeah, it's probably the best part of the game because it's just, and I unlocked Generation 1 Ironhide for multiplayer. So I can play as Generation 1
really
version of Ironhide online. And there's also a Generation 1 version of Starscream, which I'm trying to unlock now as I'm playing through the Decepticon.
Sweet!
This game has the best unlockables of any game ever. Like, it has like a stat tracker that keeps track of everything you've done in the game. And when you meet a certain criteria to unlock something, whether it be Generation 1 version of Ironhide or Starscream, you can also unlock full-length episodes from
wow.
the show, the original show. There's like 6 episodes total to unlock.
Wow.
That you can just watch right in the game, which is really cool.
That is.
Yeah. So, I mean, this game, like, if you're a fan of Transformers, you should own this game. Because it's a really good movie game. It really is. Like, Activision's, like, back-to-back Wolverine and then this. I mean, great, great movie games. And I can seg right into another Activision movie game as I played Ice Age... Dawn of the Dinosaurs. It wasn't bad. I mean, it's a kid's game.
Right.
It took me like 2 hours to beat.
Excellent.
You know. But it's got a lot of different like game types with it. Like basically what they do with every kid's game, you've got this levels where you roll a ball down a hill like a Marble Madness kind of thing, and then you have levels where you're running away from dinosaurs, kind of like the old Crash Bandicoot
right.
levels. There's even a side-scrolling shoot-em-up level. Where you're on a pterodactyl, and it's like a horizontal shooter.
Nice.
And then there's a level, it's like Panzer Dragoon.
Uh-huh.
Where you're flying forward, and you move your cursor around and shoot stuff.
Sweet!
And then there's a lot of platforming levels, and I thought it was, for kids, if you're into the movie, you can really dig it. It's really fun. There are certain levels that I'm like, kids might have an issue with this, because it's kind of challenging with the some of the platforming mechanics are not smooth as they should be. Like when you run along walls, that's a little disorienting. But as a whole, if your kids are a fan of it, you should play it. The multiplayer is kind of, it just seems tacked on. And there's no co-op like there is in a lot of other games, which kind of sucks, but it's not bad. Also played Harry Potter. And the Half-Blood Prince.
Eat your soup, Harry Potter! It'll get cold!
If you do not know anything about Harry Potter, do not play this game. Because the story doesn't tell you shit.
Because it assumes you know what's going on.
It assumes you know everything that's going on. Like, even from the new movie. Gotcha. Like, it just uses pieces of the movie as reasons for you doing the things you're doing in the game. It doesn't give you, like, a cutscene that explains why you're doing it. It just assumes you know.
Hmm.
Well, so, I would hope so, considering how many.
Yeah, how many
is that now?
Yeah.
Well, that's like the seventh or whatever. I don't know at this point, but like, it's not even like a normal movie game that uses cutscenes or storylines from the game, from the movie. They're not in there at all. So if you don't know anything about Harry Potter, you should not play this game. But if you do like Harry Potter,
if you don't know anything about Harry Potter, though, chances are you're not playing the game anyway.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
But if you are a fan of Harry Potter, do not be afraid to buy the game because it is fun. It's basically. Like, there's a couple different mini games in it. Like, the potion mixing is actually really cool. It's like a Simon Says kind of game. And it looks like it would be really fun with the Wiimote, but I only played it on the 360, so I don't know. But basically, you just mix potions in a certain time, and then you have to shake the pot to mix it up. And
can you play Quidditch again?
The Quidditch is weird because you don't actually play it. You just fly through rings. So you don't actually do anything, but it's more like a timed race where you fly through the rings, and if you miss too many rings, you fail. The combat is a lot better this time because, you know, you use the wand with your right stick. But it actually locks onto the character, and you can do, you know, and I'm not a Harry Potter guy, so like they're yelling off all the spells, and I'm sure like the fans are like creaming themselves about it, but. And the characters in the cutscenes creep me out. Like, their faces look really good, but sometimes their voices are off sync and their hair is just, like, stiff as can be. But Hogwarts itself is, like, perfectly rendered. It's incredible. Like, the fans will go nuts over that. But the game itself is not bad. They have fixed it to the point where you can't possibly fail, because anytime you get lost, all you have to do is hit the back button and the Headless Nick guy comes out and shows you exactly where you're supposed to go.
Headless Nick?
Yeah. Apparently that's big if you're into Harry Potter.
Oh.
Headless Nick, he's like a ghost that floats around Hogwarts.
Oh.
And he couldn't even cut his own head off or something like that. That's the story.
Gotcha. I know nothing about Harry Potter.
I really don't.
So either. I would not be good at the game.
I did research on it just so I could do the review because gotcha. I thought that was fair. But anytime you get lost, you just hit the back button and follow him and he'll show you exactly where to go.
Hmm.
So if you're a Harry Potter fan, you should buy this game.
You did research. You're a closet Harry Potter fan. Admit it.
No.
Oh.
I still couldn't tell you their names if I had to.
Harry Potter.
The three main characters, I couldn't tell you their names.
Voldemort's the villain.
I don't know this. I don't know any of this.
Yeah.
I just know it's very British.
Hello, Harry Potter.
Gambus, you have the worst British accent of any person I've ever met in my entire life.
It's old English.
It's a Fortnite, bitch.
It's very,
very old English.
No, it's an old person speaking English.
Harry Potter! I played Overlord 2. It's Overlord. It's exactly the same game, just a couple things here and there fixed. If you liked Overlord, you will like this game. The multiplayer still sucks terribly.
Of course it does.
Don't know why they haven't put like the full-on co-op mode, but I guess that doesn't make any sense because you're the Overlord. You know, you're just one.
Yeah, it can never be two.
The only complaint I have about the second game that really hurt it for me, other than the fact that if you've played the first one, you've played the second one, there really is not a whole lot different. Other than the fact that they just eliminated all of the exploration, the game is so linear.
Really,
there's no question where you need to go.
Huh.
So the best part of the game for me, as far as being a sequel, is the first level. You play as the Overlord as a child. And you go around and harass the other little kids in a snowball fight,
nice.
Which was the best part of the game. Other than the the minions dressed up in the kids' clothes singing Christmas songs.
Nice.
As you're walking through the town, that was probably funny. A very big highlight for me. The minions just crack me up because I love it when they, because now you can get them on wolves and spiders and stuff, like you can get them to ride mounts, and they just fly through the level and they pick up the items in the level and put them on as armor and helmets and stuff, and it's just...
I like the first one a lot.
It's the second one's exactly the same thing, it's just linear.
Gotcha.
I mean, there's really not much different to it. So, I mean, it does a lot of great things, but at the same time, it's just like you feel like it could have done so much more. You know, it's just, there's still nothing like it. So, if you'd like the first one, you should buy the second one and play through it, because it is really good. I played Fight Night, round 4. I think it's awful, but I don't like boxing games.
Yeah, that's why you think it's awful.
The right stick controls are just terrible to me. I mean, it's just like you're waggling a stick around trying to hit somebody, and it's inaccurate a lot of times to me. I just don't understand why they didn't do the button thing. The button thing would have actually made me enjoy what little bit of it I did play.
I heard that they're going to implement the button layout.
Yeah, we talked about that earlier in the show. That's probably where you heard it.
Yeah. I was probably asleep then.
Wow. Well, it was during your fondling.
Yeah, it was. So you probably were asleep.
Yeah, I was probably asleep.
No, I am not a fan of Fight Night, never have been, don't like boxing games, don't like the sport of boxing, and I've always found the Fight Night games to be very boring.
You know, I don't like the sport of boxing either. I mean, I never got into it, you know. However, I do find the Rocky films to be very compelling.
I think one thing I can say about Fight Night, though,
I love the Rocky movies.
Damn, it's gorgeous.
It is gorgeous.
It is a very pretty game. I will give it that. It is very pretty. And I like the Rocky films as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now you all know why I am reviewing Fight Night and Zero Tolerance is not reviewing Fight Night.
See, I am not one of those people that's just going to go out there and review a game that I don't like. Even though I still would give it a very good score because it is a very good game if you're into it.
All right.
So there you go. I played Droplets.
Droplets.
Which is Atlas' first Xbox Live arcade game. Which is weird. It's kind of like Pipe Dream. Remember Pipe Dream?
Yeah.
Basically where you like piece pipes together, or the BioShock mini hacking game. Kind of like that, but you store reservoirs of water that happens to be yellow. Just putting that out there. It's actually really addicting and very relaxing at the same time. Very fun game. You should definitely check it out. It's Xbox Live and PSN. Very addictive little puzzle game. Very different. Played more Guitar Hero Smash Hits, talked enough about that. King of Fighters 98 Ultimate Match, getting pumped up for King of Fighters 12.
So, King of Fighters 98, is this the Xbox download, Xbox Live game?
Yeah, it's Xbox Live Arcade.
Okay, yeah. So it's, okay.
Getting myself pumped up for some 3-on-3 action for some King of Fighters 12 that looks absolutely gorgeous.
It does.
Battlefield Bad Company again, trying to get back into that. Damn, that game is hard. Damn, it makes me like feel like I'm just terrible at first person shooters. But I do like it. I just wish it wasn't so hard.
Yeah, I played the demo of that game a long time ago. I noticed that all the enemies automatically know where you are.
And they don't miss.
Yes.
So
no, they don't.
I'm like, you son of a bitch. I went to GameStop and took full advantage of the big sale they started. Which, did you guys see this?
No.
Bionic Commando is $19.99.
Seriously?
The new one.
Really?
Yes. Prince of Persia is $19.99. Brothers in Arms, Hell's Highway is $19.99. I mean, this sale was just awesome. So I went and picked up some stuff.
So is it over now?
No, I think it runs for a while.
Oh, okay.
Like 2 weeks or something. But the first thing I picked up, I'd wanted to play it, but it went on sale for $9.99. So I figured, okay, $9.99, we're good. Ski-Doo Challenge. Yeah, $9.99, don't even buy this game.
Ski-Doo.
I turned it on, played one race, turned it off, and threw up.
Interesting.
Wow.
The game is awful. Absolutely awful. Don't play it.
Ski-Doo Challenge, huh?
Yes, there's a reason why it's $9.99.
You know something? That should be on the back of the box.
Actually, you know what's funny?
I played this game one time, and then I threw up.
I played this game one time. Well, I threw up because the frame rate is terrible. Like, it looks like it's in slow motion. Like, it's like,
See, with me, I'm different whenever, like a first-person perspective game, if it has, like, a super high frame rate, that actually makes me sick. Like Marathon for Xbox Live.
Yeah. Dude, Marathon made a lot of people sick.
Yeah.
I didn't experience it until actually I downloaded it. Like, oh, this game made everyone. Oh, yeah, it made me sick. I couldn't play it.
Yeah,
so Marathon. I wasted money, not because it's a bad game, but because it made me want to throw up.
Yeah.
And I don't get sick that easy. So,
yeah.
At least from a game anyway.
But. Another game that I picked up that I'd always wanted to play but did not want to spend $60 on was Shaun White Snowboarding, because I actually like snowboarding games.
Yeah.
I'm really impressed with what they did with that game. It's like an open world mountain where you can basically just go anywhere you want, you know, snowboard anywhere you want, has all these different challenges and stuff. The only thing that took me a little while to get used to is it doesn't use the Tony Hawk methodology of controls. So I had to get used to the fact that the left trigger jumps instead of the A button. And you do tricks with the right stick. So, but once I got used to that, I really like it. He feels a little, like, your character feels a little, like stuttery. But I do like a lot of what the game does, and it's definitely worth $20 if you're into snowboarding games. It's actually really good. And the soundtrack has Goldfinger on it. How can you go wrong? Goldfinger and Blue Oyster Cult. I mean, how about that combination? And I think it also has ow, do 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 do.
Ow. Ow.
Everybody, everybody,
everybody,
everybody.
One game I did pick up that's on this sale that I recommend you pick up definitely now. Tom Clancy's Hawks.
Really?
Hawks, $20.
$20, huh?
Freaking awesome.
Even if
game.
You don't like flying.
Even
games.
If you, because I hate flying games.
So do I.
I hate them. This game is freaking awesome. Awesome. Loving it so far.
So from every other game on there that me personally, you would recommend out of Hulk, Bionic Commando, and Hawks, the one I should get is Hawks.
Actually, I'd pick Bionic Commando, but you're more of an action gamer.
That's true.
Seriously. I mean, Bionic Commando for $20 is awesome. Don't get me wrong. If you guys don't own Bionic Commando now, this is the time to buy it. $20
All right,
is
so the second
awesome.
Game would be Hawks.
Definitely the second game would be Hawks.
Huh.
Hawks is awesome. It really is awesome. I'm so disappointed that I didn't pick it up sooner, but I'm so happy I waited now because I got it for $20.
Yeah.
And this game, I'm looking forward to playing a lot more of that in the coming weeks.
Wow.
Call of Juarez Bound in Blood. I'm really, really enjoying that game. There just isn't enough Western games out there.
Yeah.
And if you like the first game, you're really going to like the second game. It just screams like it should have been co-op, though. Considering you can start every level and choose who you want to play which brother.
Right.
So you figured you should have been able to play co-op through this game. The multiplayer I haven't played yet, but if it's anything like the first one, I'm going to love it, especially the Most Wanted mode or whatever. I've heard it's just incredible. I love the game. I think it's gorgeous. I really do think the game is gorgeous. Like, there are parts where I'm walking through a canyon and you just see all this detail and the environment just feels alive. And I love the fact that when you start the game, you're in the Civil War. And that's how the story starts. Is you and your brother are in the Civil War.
Cool.
So, as a Western game, it's awesome. It's got a pretty cool story. And the dueling mode, you know, where you pull your gun out and, you know, the high noon showdown or whatever, that took me a little while to get used to, but it's really cool because, like, the camera just shows the side of your body and your hands right here, and you control your hand with the right stick, and you can move it closer to your gun or further, and, you know, like, if you move it too close, like, his hand will stop and, like, tell you no, like, wave his finger, like, no, not yet.
Mm-hmm.
Then if you just hold it there, and his hands will flicker like this, and this one, you know, you got the sweet spot. And then when the bell rings, you got to pull the right stick down and then back up, and then you get a target that goes up, and then you pull the trigger.
That's just like Red Dead Revolver.
Yeah. It's really cool, though.
Hmm.
It will definitely take you a while to get used to, because I died many times in many showdowns. I was like, I just don't get this. I suck. The Incredible Hulk, I picked that back up for $20. That was definitely worth $20. So
I forgot how much fun that game is.
The game is fun. And then I'm on a fighting game kick, once again, trying to get back into Waiting for King of Fighters. We played some Street Fighter 4 yesterday.
Got my ass kicked.
Nice.
Still love Street Fighter 4, but I have played the crap out of Blaze Blue this week. I've beat the game with every character in arcade mode to get accustomed to each character, and now my next tool is to go through story mode with every character. And I have to say that I like almost every character in the game. They all play so differently that I can't wait to, like, learn how to play all of them masterfully.
And I'll tell you this. Story mode, man, that game has a big story for a fighting game.
Yeah. It's kind of stupid, but it's huge. Yeah. The story's kind of stupid, but did you look at the tip section in the story mode by chance?
No.
You know how in the story mode there's the tabs at the top, and you can scroll over to the different tabs?
Oh, okay, yeah.
There's a hint section on the right. You know what it's called?
What's that?
Teach me, booby lady.
Wow. Teach me, booby lady.
I am not kidding.
That is awesome.
That is...
And it's done in chibi. Yes. It's done in chibi anime style. And it gives you a warning before it says this section of the game is not canon.
This is not canon.
It's the little cat girl and the teacher lady like talking about the game.
Awesome.
And it's called Teach Me. And she keeps calling her Booby Lady. And it's fully voiced.
That's hilarious.
Really?
Yes.
Teach it's me fully booby voiced.
Lady. It's fully voiced. So you hear the
That's
cat.
That's what I'm going to tell my teachers.
You hear the cat girl constantly going, "Hey, booby lady, show me how to do this." Hey, booby lady.
Wow.
That is so awesome. It's like the best awesome. Thing ever.
Oh, man. That game is just chock full of so much crap. It's just... Oh.
So much crap? Like,
I don't mean like bad.
All right.
Seriously.
There's so much stuff.
So much stuff, yeah. Man. There's so much love poured in that game. It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
It is.
I think King of Fighters is going to suffer because of it, though, because I think it should have came out before this.
King of Fighters is going to be more of a straight-up serious man's fighting game.
I'm looking forward to King of Fighters, even though I don't think it looks as good, like, visual-wise.
Yeah.
But I think the animations on the characters are so, like, articulate that it changes, like, the way it looks at you. You know, it's just... those two games are just proved to me that we can still have 2D HD gorgeousness.
Yeah, I've read that... King of Fighters visually is not quite on par with Blaze Blue, but I also heard that there's actually more animation going on.
Yeah, it looks like the characters like have more transition to their moves and stuff, because SNK's always been good about making their characters look and move realistically.
Yeah.
You know, whereas in Blaze Blue, you'll have parts where you do something and it does, like, the whole animation's not there, even though it's... Don't get me wrong, I'm not discrediting Blaze Blue in any fashion,
because exactly.
It's gorgeous, but SNK just puts all that detail in there, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
It's beautiful, baby.
It's beautiful, baby.
Yes.
I cannot wait. This is like we called it, and I said that in my review of Blaze Blue. I said, you can't say that we didn't call it, but this is the year of the fighting game.
Yeah.
Yeah, then at the end of the month, we got Marvel vs. Capcom 2.
Marvel vs. Capcom 2.
King of Fighters next week. The week after is Marvel vs. Capcom 2. We have Tekken 6 still coming out this year. Plus, when's Boone going to announce Mortal Kombat 9? You know, we might even see an announcement of that this year, which would be exciting.
Yeah.
Very good year for fighting games. Street Fighter's already out there. You can't ever discredit that. Come on.
And then you got all the downloadable games like Mark of the Wolves.
Grow, Mark of the Wolves, King of Fighters 98. We have Samurai Showdown coming.
Yeah.
Everybody.
No kidding.
No doubt.
The year of the fighting game.
Oh, it's a good year.
No one else did it.
No one else did it. Just you.
Ow. I was talking.
A little late.
Now we got some dirt to do. We probably won't get to questions. Fondling is now running over an hour and a half. Sorry about that.
That was an epic fondling.
Sorry about that, everybody.
And now. News for Gamers Internet Style Radio Program proudly presents Killer Wolverine's Weekly Dirt, brought to you by Actual Dirt. And now your host, Zero Tolerance.
Actual Dirt?
I got some of that.
I heard it's good for plants.
It's high in protein.
All right. Speaking of Mortal Kombat, we can segue right into the first news story. Mortal Kombat and Midway are now owned by
Warner Brothers.
So, Mortal Kombat will now be a Warner Brothers property, which is pretty awesome considering the Warner Brothers library.
And considering that Warner Brothers has rights to DC properties.
How in the hell?
How convenient.
Hudson brings Wii owners face to face with the dead.
Wow. That would probably get them arrested.
There's a new adventure.
Come on a tour of our facility. By the way, here is a dead man.
Here's a dead man.
We killed him hours ago.
The game is called Calling. calling anybody?
Anybody?
Anything?
Anything? Calling?
I'm a ghost. I'm a ghost.
I'm a ghost.
What was that?
New Killzone 2 DLC. Two new maps, Napalm and Cordite.
I must say, Killzone 2 multiplayer is hands down definitely the best part of the game.
A lot of new stuff. New trophies.
The new maps aren't called Napalm and Cordite, by the way. Just the DLC is called that.
Oh, there's it's more maps.
Maps are called Solheva Cliffside and Ark Tower Landing. Yeah. Sorry.
This is all the patch would do. The maps will be detailed this week, I think.
My God, man.
Yeah, it does a lot.
That's a lot of shit.
It does a lot.
Killzone is like PlayStation 3's Gears of War.
Yeah.
Like, it gets a new update, like, every couple months.
Yeah.
That's a funny picture. Tekken 6 tournaments at San Diego Comic-Con. So you can get your Tekken 6 on. I'm trying to figure out what's going on that screen, too.
Someone's getting kicked.
I'm just trying to figure out how those pants manage to stay structurally viable.
I don't know. So if you want to get your Tekken 6 on between July 23rd and 26th, at San Diego Convention Center at Comic-Con, room 17B. We'll be running Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Stop with the pants.
How do the legs even stay up?
All right. You know how to say this? Anya Rubik? Is that it? Featured in Yoga for the Wii.
I don't know who the fuck that is.
I don't either.
I don't think a lot of people know who she is.
She was on America's Top Model, wasn't it? I read the press release. But, yeah.
I don't watch America's Top Model.
I read the press release. Joe Wood and Dreamcatcher are bringing Yoga to the Wii with that person.
Yoga!
Sego is going to create some games based on Sands of Destruction anime series.
You know something?
I don't even know what that is.
I don't even know what Sega is.
That's Sega. It's Sega. I changed it.
You changed it.
The thing is, I read a preview about the Sands of Destruction. It's a RPG coming out for DS. It looks freaking incredible.
Really?
Yes, it does. Could be one of the best DS RPGs ever.
Well, there you go. Damn.
Wow.
Straight from the mouth of
the con. That was for you. Sorry, because I knew no one else. I don't know what the hell it is.
Well, thank you.
Arkane Studios has joined the Bioshock 2 development team. So there you go. They were developing... Why are you hitting me? Stop that.
I'm not hitting you.
Stop that.
They developed Dark Messiah of Might and Magic for Ubisoft. So.
Dark Messiah.
Okay.
Which, if you only played Dark Messiah on the 360, it was much better on the PC and... That was because it came out much sooner on the PC.
And another crappy trend in the industry, pre-order specials for Alpha Protocol. This is getting old.
Blah.
Yeah. GameStop gets the Assault Pack with unlockable weapons. Where's the other ones? Is there any more? Just says GameStop. In addition, you'll gain exclusive, but that's the same as GameStop.
No, this isn't.
Oh, this is Game Crazy?
That's Game Crazy. This is GameStop.
Okay. Apparently you get different guns for different places.
Yeah.
Which is just stupid.
That is. That's very
stupid. I'm getting tired of that crap.
Yeah.
Huge update for Halo Wars. Lots of balance changes, bug fixes.
I wish Halo Wars was $20 this week.
Yeah. But it's got Halo in the title. That's never going to happen. Speaking of Xbox Live Arcade, though, from earlier, we have the Summer of Arcade list, and it's an awesome lineup. That's just full of things for people to complain about.
Right.
July 22nd, Splosion Man is the first game to come out of the gate at 800 points and looks awesome.
Yes, it does.
The week after, Marvel vs. Capcom 2 for 1,200 points, which people are complaining about, which was funny because when they announced it, they said, I'd pay 30 for that.
Yeah.
But it's 15. I'm going to complain. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Turtles in Time, reshelled for $15, which...
Hold on. Before we move on. We've got to read the description of Explosion Man real quick, because this is just priceless. Fools they were to tread where knowledge should stay forbidden, for what emerged was not a man. It was Explosion Man. and all who saw him were sploded, for he was the fire, and they were but meat. Able to splode himself at will, the Explosion Man launches his way through levels as an uncontainable force. That's just awesome.
That is awesome. That game has me so excited.
Yeah.
I can't wait to play that game. The Ninja Turtles game, as we were talking about, is the big one that everybody's complaining about. $15 for a 25-minute game.
Yeah, but it's Turtles multiplayer. In Time.
I know.
It's Turtles in Time.
I know. I'm not complaining.
I mean,
it's Turtles in Time. I mean, the game.
I still have Turtles in Time.
Turtles
so
in Time was one of the greatest beat 'em up games ever made.
The freaking game sold for $50.
Right.
Like, what, 18 years ago?
Yeah.
A game that nobody really is talking about, but Trials HD is $15, and it looks freaking cool. It does. I'm excited about that. The motorcycle game. And then the last one is Epic's Shadow Complex, made by the guys that did Undertow, which I think that game, like a Metroidvania type game on Xbox Live Arcade
fantastic.
As a shooter. Looks great.
It does.
Another pre-order bonus, Splinter Cell Conviction. If you pre-order that at GameStop, the world's largest video game retailer, you get an exclusive shotgun.
Yeah, you get a shotgun.
You get a shotgun.
But not a real shotgun.
According to Reggie Fils-Aimé,
because that would be dangerous.
The Wii Vitality Sensor will eventually wow you. He compares it to the flack that the DS and the Wii Remote received.
It already wowed me. As soon as they announced it, I said, wow.
I like how he compared the balance board to an where is it? Oversized bathroom scale. Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah,
it is an oversized bathroom scale.
Your mom's an oversized bathroom scale.
She likes it, too. PlayStation Store update. As you know, Battlefield was up. Buzz Jr. Robo Jam. Don't know what that is. Oh, wait. Yeah, that's for Buzz, the
That would make
game.
Sense, considering it's Buzz Jr.
Well, I didn't know that.
Shut up.
More PS1 classics, Spec Ops. I thought this was supposed
really?
To be classics.
Spec Ops? Really?
And XS Junior League Soccer.
What?
Yeah, that's awesome. As you know, Ghostbusters demo was up also on 360 as well as a Fuel demo. Lots of new stuff for Cross Edge, Dynasty Warrior 6, some new Midnight Club content, Skate 2, and the quintessential Guitar Hero World Tour and Rock Band updates, which Rock Band added like a ass load of new songs, including the Green Day pack. Well, there you go.
Yeah, it's a shame Green Day sucks.
Aw, boo. Atlas spoils Demon Souls Deluxe Edition revealed official release date.
Holy crap.
Yeah, that thing's huge, man. Which, in their press release, I don't know if you saw it, it was actually hilarious. It was the Please Stop Importing Edition, is what they called it.
I can't wait for that game. I'm really excited for it.
In the press release, it says the price of it is less than import it. So.
Yeah, the Deluxe Edition is only $69.99, which is cheaper than importing it. It will be released on October 6th. Comes with a 150-plus page strategy guide.
Wow.
Which
That's
is
awesome.
Just ridiculous. A bonus art book with concept sketches. Only at participating retailers.
Shut up.
I'm excited about this from everyone saying, from Wedge talking about it.
Yeah, I heard it was just phenomenal.
I'm actually, since it's an action RPG, I might actually have
it. Have you seen it? Have you watched any video on it? It looks good.
Yeah. Socket of Wars, premium package unveiled for PS2.
You don't have to read that kind of stuff.
Why?
Well, I mean, we can't see the Well, it's not package. Never mind. I thought it was the actual shot of the package.
Socket of Wars.
I'm about to Ric Flair chop you right across the chest.
Sweet.
Woo! Thing is, I'm glad that Socket of Wars is finally coming out to the United States because I actually voted on one of those petitions to get the one of the first Socket of Wars to come out for the original Dreamcast back in the day.
Wow.
Of course. A lot of good that did.
Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't happen. The Dreamcast died. Yeah. Attila Annie, Alchemists of Sarah Island is coming in fall 2009 for the DS.
They just keep on pumping these Attila games out, don't they?
Oh, yeah, dude. They just keep going. Disgaea 3 gets some trophy support, so all those people complaining that the game didn't have trophies, although...
It makes your old save data unusable.
Yes, it does.
So if you're really fond of your save data, you might not want
to... How important are those trophies to you?
Yeah.
You know what other game needs trophies?
What's that?
Valkyria Chronicles.
That would be awesome.
You know what
but
game needs trophies?
Happen.
It's called Metal Gear Solid.
Dude, that's never going to happen,
I know.
Bro.
Yes, that needs trophies, too. I'll play that game 50,000 times.
You get your first silver trophy for watching a cutscene.
Yes.
Snap.
Yeah.
Guitar Hero World Tour release schedule is out. The first one is Eagles of Death Metal track, available July 16th. The Vagrant Records track pack, available July 23rd. And the Knuckle Sandwich track pack, available July 30th, which has the Dropkick Murphys, which is awesome. That was awesome.
I think I pretty much just destroyed everything.
Way to go, man.
I saw the router move. I'm like, oh, no, the world is ending.
If the router moves, the world's over.
No, it was just this plug here that I tripped over.
The world ends with you.
I think we're good.
24 tracks have been confirmed for Guitar Hero 5.
Because I got a blowout on my shoe.
Which is only 24 of the 85 songs that will be on the disc.
Hey, I see Coldplay.
Oh, good. How excited are you, buddy?
Hold on. Let me read down through these real quick. Ooh, Tom Petty.
Tom Petty is on it, which is pretty awesome. John Mellencamp, which is pretty big. Santana is back. Deep Purple, Iggy Pop, Jeff Beck. What do we got here? Beastie Boys?
Huh.
Billy Squire, Blur, with Song 2, which I don't understand why that has not been in a rhythm game yet. I mean, that's almost like one of the most well-known songs ever.
Hey, Vampire Weekend's on there, too.
You know, a lot of people are excited about that.
I've never heard of them.
I haven't either, but a lot of people are really excited about it. Bob Dylan.
Van Halen.
Oh, wow.
That's the song that Jimi Hendrix made famous.
Yeah. Wolf Mother's on there, just in case.
There must be some kind of way out of here.
The new Mech Warrior is going to have four-player co-op.
Sweet!
Do you even play? Why is that on there twice?
Because the one was an update. Did you not read the update?
No,
the dates were messed up the first time.
I thought that was Obama the first time I saw this picture.
Yeah, oh, man, same
that's
here.
Pretty funny.
EA Los Angeles announces the development of Command & Conquer 4. And sorry, console fiends, PC
not for
only.
You. It's not for you.
It's not for you.
Yes, it's not.
And one of the stupidest things I've ever heard. I read this. Media Molecule's Alex Evans wants backwards compatibility for Little Big Planet, but he's not announcing a sequel. So what do you want backwards compatibility for? That's almost like the biggest retractment I've ever heard in my life. We want it to be backwards compatible, but we're not announcing a sequel.
We're not making a new one, but
backwards compatible for what?
The levels to work in a sequel, but we're not announcing a sequel.
Right.
You got to read
it. So he's basically saying if they make a sequel, he wants it to be backwards compatible, but they're not announcing a sequel, is what he's saying, basically.
Yeah.
Because they don't want those that many user-created levels
to go to waste.
So it's something they want to work on if they make a sequel.
Oh, and here we go. The back-and-forth war between Activision and Sony. Jack Tretton says, quote, "We could have come out with PlayStation 2.5 for $299, and in the first 2 or 3 years, it would have sold extremely well. But there would be a point where people would be going, I'm really not seeing the incremental leap."
Yeah, that point would be right at the very beginning.
I don't know. There's some new leaked pictures of the Xbox dashboard.
Arr, eye patch.
No, those are sunglasses.
Those are sunglasses.
They're really? Aviators.
I thought it was an eye patch.
Oh. Yeah, they're aviator sunglasses.
They show the Avatar Awards, props, and games on demand. Also an arcade rating system. So this is rumored to be the fall update.
Wow.
For your Xbox Live dashboard. You excited? You excited for... You know what I'm excited for?
Your mom.
A dashboard that freaking moves faster than 1 mile an hour.
Hopefully that comes before fall.
That guy is just... He kind of just looks creepy to me.
He looks like that's what he's saying. He looks like he's going... Rah!
Howard Stringer... getting his say in about Activision's comments.
You're reading them backwards, but it's cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's how it goes.
Well, it's because it's the latest.
I didn't say he said it after. I said
I'm
he's
just letting the
his
listeners know that he was going on first, then Jack Tretton.
And Stringer basically just said, ha, ha, ha.
Because Activision said Sony has to cut the price of the PlayStation 3, because if they don't, attach rates are likely slow, and if we're being realistic, we might have to stop supporting Sony. To which he says he likes to make a lot of noise. He's putting pressure on me, and I'm putting pressure on him. That's the nature of business.
Yeah. Oh, it's so...
That picture right there was my favorite ever. EA to deploy Nerf 2 in Strike Elite.
That picture looks like it was taken off the set of a Duke Nukem live-action movie.
Who is that guy?
I don't know, but it's
He's
awesome.
Been in something.
He's been in Gambus's dreams.
Oh, man.
dancing around in a cage,
wearing leather. Everybody, everybody,
wearing leather underwear.
Oh,
man, don't.
Ow. Oh, this is awesome.
Oh, I wish we were videotaping this.
Sony Computer Entertainment to expand their official licensing program.
Man, I haven't seen that screen in a while.
I know, and it's disproportionate.
I'm sorry. They didn't have one of that size, so I had to do with what I got. Jesus.
Through this program, SCE, with the help of third-party companies, will continue to further expand the PSP, including newly announced PSP Go, to become available this autumn. There you go.
You can go through that, because that was... There you go.
Okay. All right. Game Evil launches Xenonia Lite on the App Store. Which
is actually how I played Xenonia. I played the Lite version, the free version. I haven't bought the full one yet.
New SingStar update. We have Coldplay, Radiohead, Offspring, Kelly Clarkson.
Wow, pretty fly for a white guy. Really? Yeah. People still remember that?
I do.
I remember that.
Cheap Trick. Gloria Estefan.
Wow, Rhythm is going to get you. Nice.
Dude, this right here is another great picture. Because it looks like something's about to happen.
It looks like he might be tweaking his nipple, too, at the same time.
And he's got the facial expression for it, too. UFC Undisputed is getting patched, and people are thrilled about it because they're fixing a lot of stuff. EA gets wild with Sim Animals Africa.
Ow.
Oh, God. Help me. God, help me.
Everybody.
Help me. No, no, you gotta say it like Cleveland from Flaming. Everybody.
Everybody.
Everybody. Competitive multiplayer maps for Halo 3 ODST have been revealed. This Heretic, Citadel, and Longshore.
I'm actually really looking forward to ODST.
September 22nd.
Yep.
Sweet.
Coming soon.
I'm looking forward to it as well.
Aspyre announces Fighting Fantasy for the DS. Have you heard about this game?
No.
This game cracks me up. Who's in it? Does it have any of the characters that are in it? Isn't it like Rumpelstiltskin and...
I don't know. There's a link for everything
it's
on
like,
your site.
Isn't it like literary characters?
Yeah, it's
or
like literary characters fighting
like Mother
each
Goose.
Other. Yeah, like Red Riding Hood fighting Rumpelstiltskin and shit. That's awesome.
Wow, I think I've heard of this game before.
What might be the coolest thing coming out this year? Like seriously, like as a package, the Watchmen Blu-ray comes with both games on the disc.
That is awesome.
The Watchmen 1 and 2 downloadable games come on the disc for $49.99 for the Blu-ray and both games. Awesome deal. You can also buy both games together as a package for PS3 and 360 for, I think, $30, and then the Blu-ray by itself. But, man, that is incredible, especially since the Watchmen movie on Blu-ray is going to have the extra half-hour footage that wasn't in the theaters.
Yeah, they're going straight for the director's cut.
So, Atlus to bring Kinkabacho 3, whatever... aren't they allowing you to name it, too? Yeah. Yep. Fans can contribute to the naming process via the link below to give it a better name than Kinkabacho 3, which I hope you pick something good, because that's terrible. good. PSP 2 is in development. As powerful as first Xbox. And we're getting this with PSP Go still not on the shelf.
Only a rumor.
I like rumors, even though that picture is just hilarious to me.
That picture is completely 100% fake.
That is the picture that they're saying that it's
is that Monster Hunter
going to look like.
That
is
PSP
Monster Hunter,
2
yes.
is going to look like?
Yeah.
Why is the screen not widescreen?
I don't know, but that's the rendering of what it's supposedly going
to
look like.
Why is the screen not shut your face and moved on to the next thing?
I'm going to kick you in the dick.
I don't know.
We talked about the Fight Night Round 4 DLC, which offers what everybody wanted in the first place, face button control.
And look, everyone's happy.
And new gameplay slot. Yeah, look, even that guy's holding a belt. He's so excited. This guy didn't even care he's got a belt, and this guy's grabbing his butt. got new gameplay sliders, new equipment plus an alternative version of Sugar Ray Leonard exclusive to the 360 version.
And the freaking DLC for the face button's not coming out till September.
Yep.
Yeah.
They're going to make you play it longer.
Grow up. I won't even want face button control by then because I'll be so used to the stick.
Jackson 5 track pack confirmed for Lego Rock Band.
Yeah.
Oh, look. Vampire Weekend's in that game, too, because apparently Lego Rock Band fans need to know who Vampire Weekend is.
Obviously.
Play Left 4 Dead 2 with Left 4 Dead 1. There's a lot of numbers in there. Kotaku is reporting that Doug Lombardi has said that developers are looking into allowing cross-play between owners of both games. For what purpose? They're not even the same maps. Isn't that the point of a sequel?
I think they're going to have the Left 4 Dead 1 maps on there or something. They want to let people who buy Left 4 Dead 2.
So they want to piss off people even more by saying, if you bought the first one, fuck you, because we're putting the maps in the second one, dick.
Yes.
Valve's really pissing a lot of people off with this game.
Yeah, but it's either that or if you want to play, like if you buy Left 4 Dead 2 and you want to play the maps from Left 4 Dead 1, you got to swap discs out. I'd rather them put them on there.
I'd rather them just make the maps from the second game DLC.
Well, that's not going to happen, so the more reasonable thing is to do what they're doing.
Cliff Bleszinski says, on shooters, in a conversation with Harvey Smith, one of the lead designers on Deus Ex, I said to him, the future of shooters is RPGs, and he completely agreed. There was a time when the industry warmed down. Bleszinski added, and then BioShock came along. So there you go.
You might have a point there.
1 versus 100, will you choose the money or the mob? That's already over.
Yeah.
So
that usually it is.
So yeah, stop talking about it.
Okay, I'm going to move on. If there's anything else.
Oh, there's a lot else.
Oh, yeah?
I don't know. I don't know.
We posted some Marvel vs. Capcom 2 videos. Some strategies for Hawk and Zangief.
To get you excited about the 29th.
That's right. Bit.tripcore brings WiiWare library to 100 games. That's a lot of games.
See, this is what I was talking about when you had... Never mind.
What's
that? Never mind. It was some... Never mind.
Oh, okay. I know what you're talking about. LucasArts is now on Steam. That was their big announcement.
Yep.
And it's awesome.
Yeah.
Because Armed and Dangerous, Indiana Jones, The Fate of Atlantis, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, Lego Indiana Jones, Loom, Star Wars Battlefront 2, Republic Commando, Star Wars Starfighter, The Dig, and Thrillville are all available on Steam. So you need to go download Fate of Atlantis and Armed and Dangerous and realize why those games are awesome. And Ubisoft opens a new studio in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, which is a good thing instead of closing a studio.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. I love to hear opening studios.
Open is better than close.
That's what she said.
Yes.
Wow, we're right at the mark, too.
We're right at the mark, but
so,
you know what?
Twitter shout-outs?
We do Twitter shout-outs.
All right.
Twitter shout-out.
Give it a
is
shout.
Is that the new thing?
No.
That would be, oh, come on.
Oh, we can make it the new thing. Yeah, every week I get a Twitter shout-out.
Everybody.
All right.
Ow.
It's
like an echo version.
Right, this is going to be kind of hard to sort through because we got some from last week in here, too. But, all right.
Everybody.
Let's see. Okay. Marungo says he wants us to tell everybody to follow him. So follow Marungo.
Follow him now.
Yes. Marungo.
If you elbow me in the forehead, I will punch you in the tip.
Wow, it's funny that you say that because CudaDude2 says, hey, you guys rock. What the F is going on with GT5? It's just taking forever to come out like Gran Turismo's always do.
Yeah.
And Zero wants you to pass along to his boy Derek a punch in the dick right on the tip.
There you go, brother. Yeah.
How dare you steal my... That was my phrase. Now it's yours. Yeah, fuck you. I'll come up with something new.
Killer Wolverine says he won't be at the show today, so he wants us to discuss this.
Oh, that was last week.
And then he says, clarification, do you think the big three will just add on to the current systems instead of releasing new ones?
There was a story reported last week that there's no reason to make new ones.
That's something we'll have to unpack next week.
Yeah, we got to unpack that. That's a good one.
Iokara says he hopes all is well soon, guys, in reference to the reasons we couldn't...
We couldn't do a show last week.
Thank you.
Nero916 says, hey guys, my brother told me about your podcast and now I'm hooked. Thanks for the great info and laughs. You guys rock. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, brother, for
telling us about him.
Thank you, brother, for me. One time, brother.
DizLoudBoy916.
He says, I eat people.
He spam plugs his website. No, I'm just kidding. It says, check out Generation X for articles, reviews, and opinions in the Generation X podcast, which is at thegameraccess.com.
Oh, good.
Sam in Seattle says, all no podcast. Hope the family emergencies weren't anything bad. Everybody's back this week.
Everybody.
Frustrated Fury says, no, I will not. That was in reference to when I told everybody to follow
us.
And he said, no, he would not. So I said, F you. Atlas also said the same thing.
Altus. Basically.
Yeah, Altus, sorry.
Not Atlas.
Sorry, Altus.
They make Steel Princess.
Nero 916 says, wow. Hey guys, love the show. He actually wanted to challenge us to Street Fighter 4 on the PS3. Gambus and I are the only ones who have a PS3. Or have Street Fighter on PS3.
You're the only ones who have a PS3.
I mean, have Street Fighter 3. Or
you
have Street
fancy sons
man,
of bitches.
Man, dude, I'm so tired right now. Can I just be honest with you? Gambus and I are the only ones that have Street Fighter 4 on the PS3. Either of us would love to play you if you see us online playing Street Fighter.
Send us a message
and we'd love to play against you. He asked for all of our PSN gamer tags, so we'll go around. Gambus.
Okay, my PSN gamer tag is N4G Gambus Con.
All one word.
All one word.
And go ahead and throw your Xbox one in there too, because we haven't really done this in a couple shows.
His
so.
Xbox is broken.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You don't have your Xbox
anymore. Yeah, but
anymore.
If it wasn't, it'd be Gambus Con.
You can still add him to the 500 that he has requests for since his Xbox broke.
Yeah. My PSN and Xbox Live tag are exactly the same. It's Wombat RP. That's all one word. There's no spaces or anything.
Mine are the same, too, and they're both zero tolerance. Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah, mine's the same, too. Killer Wolverine.
There you go. So. Easy enough. So add us on all those. We love to play against listeners. Some ugly guy in sunglasses says he's making his way back from his weekend camping excursion so he can grab a shower and scoot over to the Secret Underground N4G podcast lair.
Is his name R. Wombold on Twitter?
Yeah, he's a douchebag.
He is a douchebag.
Dizzleboy 916 says he hopes Gambus and Killer Wolverine's situations are okay from last week. Prayers go out to them and the crew.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate there you that. Go, brother.
Incredible Stan says, Viva la N4G. Thank you, sir. He says, you guys rock from Boston to Bangkok. You are damn straight. Dizzleboy 916 again says, give me another cheap plug before I send you guys a virus. Twitter.com/GenerationXbox and visit thegameraccess.com. He says, come on, Wombat. I did it. Don't send me a virus. Please.
I'll send you a virus. I'll send you,
you
the
send
slide
me a virus.
Too.
You send me a virus. I'm going to get a cold. And I'm going to lick all over an envelope and mail it to your house. what are your thoughts on ads coming to... Oh, sorry. You Expect Me to Talk says, what are your thoughts on ads coming to the 360 dashboard? If they do that, then it's goodbye Xbox and hello PlayStation.
There are already ads on the Xbox dashboard.
Yeah, but they're talking about like...
Silverlight.
Yeah, the Silverlight thing.
Which
I
don't
be, like,
remember
streaming
what,
ads or whatever.
I don't remember what Major Nelson said on his Twitter, but he defended it. It's not going to be anything... too.
Hope, as long as it's not too invasive, yeah. I don't care. But if they start making it ridiculous where I gotta watch an ad before I move on the dashboard, which is already slow as shit, then I'm gonna be pissed.
If I have to watch an ad before a game, I'm gonna kick Major Nelson.
Yes.
Well,
right
I don't
in the
think
junk.
He made it.
He did.
Would, okay.
It was his idea.
And you hate
Major Nelson continue.
No, I'm just kidding.
I'm just giving him a hard time.
The Jimbo N says, shouts to you guys and your families for staying strong through any problems that might try and bring you down.
Thank you very much.
Snoop Dizzle says, can any of you moonwalk? I used to be able to moonwalk. I haven't tried to moonwalk in a long time. You got to be on a slick floor with slick shoes, though. It doesn't work if you try and do it on carpet.
I tried to moonwalk a few times.
And?
Failed.
And?
Did you injure yourself?
I just ended up looking like I was scooting backwards.
Nice. John Whitehouse says, or John W., whichever one you want to refer to
him as. W.
Says, oh, he hopes the show is going well. Please say hi to everyone for me. So hello to everyone from
hi.
John
hello.
W.
Everybody.
And he says, oh, and tell Gambus and Wombat it's time to get on Facebook. No.
Oh, it's time.
No.
It's time. Bring it.
Facebook.
REMGS says, hey, guys, can't wait for the show. REMGS was the only thing he could come up with for a Twitter name because Lotus 9 was taken. He said it stands for Resident Evil Metal Gear Solid.
See,
which
I
his,
knew it.
His two favorite game series. He doesn't know how to pronounce it, though, so suggestions. I'm going to call you REMGS.
I'm going to call you REMGS.
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 And then he says he was wondering which games you guys have put the most time into in your life, single or multiplayer.
Oh, by
and
Jesus.
How much time it was. Great question, by the way.
That is a great question.
Dude, I have put
I don't know.
Over 1,000 hours in StarCraft.
Probably the individual game that I put the most time of that's not an MMO, because those don't count, is Morrowind, because I had probably 150 hours in Morrowind.
I can't believe I've spent 1,000 hours of my life playing StarCraft.
But I did have 2 weeks invested in World of Warcraft before I stopped playing that. And City of Heroes. I don't even want to know how much time I have in City of Heroes. How about you?
I have no idea. Single player, I have no idea. But I think multiplayer would be Halo 2.
Halo 2?
God, we played so
much
Halo 2.
God, I probably have 500 hours of Halo 2.
We played a ton of Halo 2. Zero and I also played a ton of Guilty Gear. We probably spent a lot of time playing
that. Oh, my God. Oh, Jesus.
And what about you, Gamus?
I'd probably say
maybe
StarCraft.
StarCraft, probably?
Maybe. A lot of time.
Everybody.
Ow.
Iokara says, have you ever thought about releasing an iPhone app for ATGD? I assume you mean ZTGD or N4G.
I've thought about it, but I don't even know the first step, so that's in the future.
There you go, in the future.
You got to find the appropriate people for that appropriate step.
Appropriate.
Just look it up.
Learn
how to code on an iPhone.
I'll learn how to code.
Grow
your
up.
Mom.
Just grow up and do it.
I'll code your mom.
Just grow up. And then Mouse with 50 says, hey, guys, wanted to get his tweet in. So, yeah. Hi. Well, hi back to you.
What's up?
Thanks for the tweet. Thanks, everybody, for the tweets. And actually, I think REMGS set a record in sending in 3 tweets in a row. I think that's probably the most anybody's ever got in right in a row.
Sweet.
You know, when Mouse tweets, he has a tweet, he squeaks.
Wow.
Oh, boom.
On that note, we're going to have to close this show out because
I think I'm done.
You see, I always have to get a really bad joke in every episode.
Wow.
Boo on you, son. For that, I'm going to make you take us out. So let's get out of here, please.
She sits all alone, tormented in gloom, as her last friend on earth has just died. Emotions are dreary, just like a tomb, as she wonders why. Why did she keep to herself? Was it selfish or pride? Why is there no one here to lay by her side? As the questions and answers float by in the wind, and the flowers around her subside, like everyone else she has known in this world, her rose has died. It's time to get on with your life. It's time to move on, no matter the cost, the pain or strife. Why did she keep to herself? Was it selfish or pride? Why is there no one here to lay by her side? Like everyone else she has known in this world, her rose has died. Was it selfish or pride? Why is there no one here to lay by her side? As the questions and answers float by in the wind, and the flowers noise around her subside. Like everyone else she has known in this world, her road.